Radio Chelly Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Chelly.
July 14, 2023, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. Jeez, it's already the 14th of July. Friars Day night, Friday night. That's right. The O'Chelly Effect is live. We have gone late to the stream, but if you're hearing the podcast, you don't care. If you are hearing us a little bit after 8 p.m. Eastern time on Friday night, then we are live and you can join us. Talk about anything you want to. By us, who do I mean? I mean myself and my co-host, B. Pete. I'm having a little trouble breathing at the moment, so I might have to pause for a minute here and let BP take over. But before I do that, I'm going to remind you that you can join us at 319-527-5016. 319-527-5016. And my trouble breathing is I'm going to probably have to just, like, clear my nose, so to speak. My nose is starting to run, and it wasn't before, but it's starting to run now. Weird stuff happening. I don't know. Weird stuff in the air. It's odd, the weather, the way it's been. It's been very, very hot, very humid. And then at night, it changes. I don't know. It's been odd. Let's just put it that way. And very hot. Not as hot as I was reading it was in parts of Arizona and stuff like that. 130 degrees, allegedly. 130 degrees Fahrenheit in some places. I'm not misspeaking here. 130 on the Fahrenheit scale in the United States. I don't recall that ever happening before. Maybe it has, and I just didn't notice. I mean, I've heard of 110, 115, but, you know, 130. That's a hell of a thing. I know some mention of the temperatures in Death Valley. Those are always extreme anyway, but wow, hot in some places, huh? Anyway, is it going to be hot on here tonight? I guess you people will figure that one out by joining us. You can either join us by dialing 319-527-5016, or you can reach out to me, charles.ocelli, on Skype. And if you do that, I will call you into the show. By the way, I also have the website back to fully operational. I'm a little behind on the pods still. I got to get yesterday's stuff up and one pod from Wednesday. I got Chris's up there, but I didn't get mine up from Wednesday, and I didn't get mine up from yesterday with Mike Swanson, which was kind of interesting. We started on Star Trek, went to local meetings, and then I forget how we ended. But hey, interesting discussion with Mike Swanson. We haven't talked to him in a few weeks, so that was good. My discussion with RC Hand has to go up from Wednesday night, and I don't know if I have that up on the radio stream yet. There are replays going up regularly. The regular feeds out there, if you subscribe to us on Apple or whatever, they're working just fine. I'm catching up on the website, and I did decide to skip a few pods just so I could get caught up quicker. But like last night, I think I published finally last Friday's last Friday's show, or maybe it was this morning. Either way, we're catching up, we're getting it done, and we can catch up with you if you call in. 319-527-5016 if you're hearing us live. Again, let's see, 12 minutes after 8 p.m. Eastern time on the 14th? Yeah, the 14th day of July 2023. Or reach out to me, charles.ocelli, on Skype, and I will call you into the show. So, B. Pete, I don't know if we're going to talk about news. I mean, last week I didn't expect to talk about a woman getting run over by a forklift and cocaine in the White House, but who knows where we're going to go this week. I mean, we could get into news. We could get into crazy stuff. We could wind up with naked discussions. Who knows? It's always, I don't know, this is almost like Wild Card Friday. How you doing tonight? What's on your mind, sir?
Oh, been staying busy. Doing pretty good. We're still dealing with a lot of rain. Work's been a pain in the butt, trying to get some stuff done around the house. But other than that, doing well. I got a chance to listen to the news some this week just to catch up on some stuff. Went and fired back a bunch of old stuff from Real Clear Investigations, some old stories. On the Hunter Biden thing, it looks like the Bidens are up to about $40 million in ill-gotten gains or unexplained gains. Let's put it that way. And that's from all sources, not just China or Ukraine or any of the other people that they were dealing with, but that total is apt to go up even more. So we were at 30, now we're at 40. I'm wondering if we'll even hit 50.
Who knows?
But other than that, we've had some weird headlines here, like, you know, little things like in Chicago. So far this month in Chicago, 398 people have been robbed just in the month of July. And we're what, halfway through? Is the 15th? Or 14th?
14th.
Yeah,
no, that's
so not even quite halfway through. That's quite a few. Let's see. Of course, you know, the Secret Service has closed their cocaine investigation into the White House, and with no suspect, and they won't be able to determine anything. And, you know, how many people were saying that from get-go, that this is going to get covered up, which, you know, you've come to expect. Let's see. Also, breaking news, apparently, under Biden's administration, the FTC pressured analysts to give a negative report on Elon Musk's Twitter, and there's been a lawsuit filed over it. That's interesting.
Yeah, the SEC's having all – Securities and Exchange Commission is having all kinds of –
No, FTC, Federal Trade Commission.
Oh, okay. I was going to say the SEC is interesting lately too, but the FTC, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, they apparently pressured analysts to give out a negative report. So it seems like this administration has been very busy trying to influence everything from social media to now, you know, business analysts that give out reports. And it's amazing. Yeah, you know, you wonder how long this stuff's been going on. You think for a while?
Yeah, I think that a lot of this stuff goes on all sides as usual. I was watching some of the hearings there with Christopher Wray this week and with others.
Oh, jeez.
Regarding, you know, different things, the different accusations. I was watching and I didn't even have to put my eyes on the screen to know who was talking every time they switched speakers, because I knew, okay, this is the Democrats' turn, this is the Republicans' turn. The two of them going after each other one way or another. I mean, we have the alleged whistleblower now being charged as a Chinese spy, right? Or maybe being charged as a Chinese spy. The accusation is out there. You have a charge and countercharge back and forth about everything, right? Hey, pay no attention to this. Pay no attention to that. Is Elon Musk's social media experiment failing anyway? Is he simply losing value because he's losing advertising revenue? That's one thing. But are analysts being pressurized to give a bad view, to literally sabotage his ownership of Twitter? I don't see how he's helpful to anybody at this point. You know, if you undercut Twitter, Meta released its new strategy to deal with it with Thread, right? Was that this week or last week? Do you remember? Was that this week or last week?
That was at the end of last week. So it's had this week then, and now from what I've heard in the media, but we know how they are. They've considered it pretty successful with the number of people that have signed up now. I've not heard anything else about how it's working, whether there's snags, nothing. Just that all these people signed up in the first few days, and we've heard nothing else.
Yeah, well, every time you get a characterization from the media, that's something that you can't trust at all. Because every time I look into it, I look at the actual numbers on stuff. You know, sometimes they say, oh, well, this generated very little interest. And it's like, very little interest. I'll tell you, I'd be happy with 10 million people interested in this or that. You know, when they've said that certain streaming services went online and failed right away. And I'm looking at it going, well, on its launch, it gets this much engagement. Now, true, maybe they had a projection that was bigger. But nonetheless, clearly it succeeded enough because the thing still exists the next year and so on, right? Not all these streaming services have succeeded, true. But almost all of them where they, you know, pretty much sounded the alarm that this thing's going to crash and burn, they don't. That's interesting, right? You have a fascinating thing in the entertainment world now because the actors have gone on strike to match the writer's strike.
First time since, the 60s?
Yeah, I think.
When both of them were on strike at the same time?
Yeah, it's been like 60 years since the last time this happened, right? I also find it funny that Fran Drescher is the, president of the, of SAG-AFTRA. Have you heard her speak?
Oh, yes. She sounds nothing like the nanny. I'll go ahead and tell people. If you've never heard Fran Drescher's real voice, she sounds like just a typical Northeasterner, you know? And not a heavy accent. nothing like her characters, but and I didn't know that she was president of Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah.
Had no idea.
And then you have some of these local presidents out there talking about how, you know, look, and there is a problem with streaming and with being monetized and with people in general creating content not getting, you know, their money's worth after putting in their work. As somebody who does podcasts, you know, I'm confronted with that problem all the time, right? I mean, I put stuff on a platform and everything else. I get engagement. They run commercials next to my stuff and whatever, and they don't pay me.
Yeah, and the biggest thing I understand that the that now the Screen Actors want is some type of protection from AI, where they can be voice cloned, or also with streaming, because the residual, you know, it's not like the old rerun residuals you used to get from TV. With streaming, it's a whole different setup.
Yeah,
and apparently that the companies that take care of the streaming, the HBO Maxes and the Hulus and all the rest of them, are really making some mega bucks, and they're not one to share the gold. So,
well, yeah, but altogether, you can't really blame them. Right, and altogether, here's the problem, right? Is every time a media thing shifts, and it doesn't matter if it's digital or modern or, you know, stuff from 60 or even 80 years ago now, you know, when people sign up and they do a performance, fine, you get paid for your performance, you think you're done. Well, you're not, because you're supposed to get paid if that performance continues to generate money. And, you know, we've had the issues you've seen over the years. I mean, how many true Hollywood stories about, look, I know I've been heard all over the world and people think I'm rich and famous, but I haven't gotten a check since 1970, you know, and they're still playing my likeness out there. They're still using my acting skills and whatever it is I did, you know, and writers as well, you know, the writers who create the stuff and then the actor who activates it and puts it into play on the screen, on the stage, on the box, whatever it might be. You know, sits there and says, hey, don't I need to get paid whenever you guys make money off of something I did? Writers and performers both, right? Musicians have struggled with this. I mean, this is just the tug of war in the entertainment industry, I'm thinking. And AI adds a weird aspect to it, because now there are people voluntarily signing up saying, you know, like James Earl Jones, right, has signed up and said, look, you know, why don't you preserve my voice so this way you can make a Darth Vader character still speak 20 years from now if I'm dead. And they, you know, you get paid for that. And then they're saying, well, not only should you get paid for that, but every time they make money off of it. So if they make 30 more films after he's dead, his estate ought to get some money out of it, right? And people have different feelings about that.
Their big concern is the bootlegger that's going to be able to come in and, you know, monitor several, let's say several things that, you know, James Earl Jones has been in, and through AI can create their own voice.
Right.
That sounds exactly like him. You know, those could be sold. Well, let's say those could be sold on the periphery of the business, where a studio would buy one from someone instead of contacting an actor or a voiceover actor. They would just go to an AI firm and say, hey, we need a James Earl Jones. And they want protections against that. And you really can't blame them, because, you know, from what I've heard and the examples that I've listened to, man, they pretty much got it down pat. They can clone anybody's voice. It's amazing.
Right. Well, look, eventually
they can make it sound just as natural as, you know, as if you were recording the actor themselves. So, I mean, there's a, there's a lot of things that have changed over the years, from just, you know, the jukebox replay and how much an artist would get. And we saw problems with this with, what was it, Spotify, and what were some of the other music streaming companies that
Pandora
were getting into hassles over what they paid per play and per click and things like that.
Pandora, Spotify, right.
Pandora. That's what I was trying to think of, Pandora. So it's been an ongoing issue, but it really has been a while since the actors went on strike. So, you know, maybe it's just that cyclical thing that comes around. They say that this will make the writer's position stronger, that now that you have the actors out on strike with them. So I can see how that would benefit the writers.
Oh, yeah, but a lot of stuff now is having to cease production because of this. So, you know, in the even if they solve the problem soon, you have a massive delay in productions that that would have gotten underway already.
So get ready for repeats and more reality shows.
Right, which is funny because that's actually going to generate more revenue for the people that are not sharing the revenue anyway, without them having to pay anybody. Because, you know, they're not going to pay somebody who isn't performing or who isn't writing, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you know, nobody.
All the competition just went away.
Yeah, if you really haven't noticed, you know, like what? Bill Maher and shows like that, they all had to go on strike right. Like, they all had to go into hiatus right away because they depend on what? Writers that do things with current events and news stories and stuff like that outside of the performers. And now I think people don't recognize how many people are actually in the union there. The Screen Actors Guild is a large union.
It is. And that's what gets me. You know, I don't know if you've ever watched the show. The only thing on Fox News that I watch is Gutfeld. And he was on at 11 o'clock. And he was, even before the writer's strike, he was kicking butt. I mean, he was pulling numbers that people couldn't believe. So then the writer's strike happened. He really didn't have any competition, but I'm thinking Gutfeld didn't strike. I mean, all his stuff has been live. So are his writers not members of the writer's union, which I find awfully strange in New York with a major network that they're not.
Yeah.
Because he's not missed a day. He's still got his writers pumping stuff out. They've moved him down to 10 o'clock now. I don't know how that's going to affect his numbers, but.
Well,
he's been pulling in some huge numbers the past couple months with the strike going on.
Here's the thing, though. Do his writers count as, you know, entertainment, right? Like, are they actually non-union because it's news? I don't know if, you know, if you're a writer for news, per se, you count in the same way that a creative writer does. See, that's the thing. It might be staffed differently.
Well, but, there's three or four guys that write for them that are stand-up comics. So, you know, they do have another job. Hmm. It's not like that's the only thing they do is write for the Gutfeld show. So they have other projects out there as well. Maybe they don't need to be a member of the union to protect their money because they're making enough money that, you know, Gutfeld hadn't screwed them over. So, that you know, the money's good.
Well, he might be working
with it, but they've got other things going on.
He might be working with a smaller staff too. I mean, all you do is
I'm sure he is. Yeah, I'm sure he is.
You know, and that's a possibility. And look, and there were people coming out that, you know, actors you never heard of and stuff coming out that are, you know, the president of the local chapter of the union and this and that, coming out making statements, you know, which sound pretty reasonable about, you know, look, if they use AI. You know, there's got to be some rules, some agreement in place here regarding whether they pay the source person or not, you know, and how long do they pay that source person, and do they pay them when they're repurposed into certain things, and do you have a right to refuse stuff on behalf of your AI, and all kinds of weird things, right? Because all of a sudden, you know, if I've got the cash, I could put James Earl Jones, not saying I want to, but I could put him in a porno film, right? If I've got the cash to buy it and I can do it, why not? You know, Darth Vader in a porno film, you know? Would that be an exclusive thing to Disney? Does Disney have an exclusive right to his digital likeness or whatever? I mean, like I said, he actually voluntarily signed a contract, but what about if they lift you from other things? If they have the right to use the material, where does that right begin and end?
Yeah, Darth Vader going to be selling burgers here before too long?
Well, that's the other thing, right? I mean, you know, why don't we just have him doing candy commercials, right? Singing the Candyman next to Sammy Davis Jr., who we also secure the rights of. We can digitally put them together with holograms 20 years from now if we want to, right? When they're both long gone. I don't know. It opens up a lot of interesting questions. So anyway, look, we've got like three or four callers on the line already. And I'm not sure if I got a Skype message, but I'm going to try and manage all this. Plus, I actually got to go grab another drink because I didn't get. Yeah, I got to let somebody know that we are live on the Skype here. So we may have a Skype caller, and we also have at least three that I can see on the board over here. So I want to get to them. But, I mean, you got any other stuff you want to just mention before I start pulling people into the conversation?
Well, no, we're kind of at a we're kind of at the end of an era. You know, Geraldo Rivera was let go from Fox, and of course he's out visiting The View to trash his old show. But I think it's kind of funny that, you know, Fox signed Geraldo 20 years ago when he was basically had burned through his candle and was a nobody, and gave him something to do in a platform, and he spent 20 years milking it, and now he wants to trash him for letting him go. I just thought that was kind of hilarious, you know.
Well, it's about
only
that.
Only Geraldo could be unappreciative as he, you know, couldn't be.
Well, that's the thing. Geraldo as a sort of liberal crusader on network TV, right? He rose up through the news ranks initially and then got his own talk show and jumped on the bandwagon with the Phil Donahue ripoffs is what I call them, you know, which Oprah Winfrey was the most successful of them. But a whole bunch of people grabbed Phil Donahue's format of a TV show with the crowd and the crowd participation and the talk show topics, right? Until what? A Nazi threw a chair and broke his nose? Did the Nazi throw a chair and break his nose?
Yeah, that is probably the most known. I mean, I think back on all the big milestones of Geraldo, and one was getting hit in the nose with a chair when he had a riot on his set.
Right.
When he had the Nazis and the – it was the Nazis and the – no. Nazis and the communists? Who was it?
I know that there were...
He had two groups.
Well, no, he had more than two groups because there was Nazi skinheads, there was non-Nazi skinheads, and there was some other group that...
Maybe it was just Nazi Fest, yeah.
Well,
And what? When he did the coverage of Capone's vault.
They
find an old liquor bottle, and that's it. You know, he's plus nothing, there was that great moment on Fox News where he was embedded with the troops overseas during the first Middle East incursion over there. Or no, was it second? It was after 9/11. You know, he was embedded with the troops, and
I thought it was
he
Iraq.
Sort of drawn in the sand, yeah. Saying, "Yeah, we're here, and we're going to go up this way, and we're going to go over and do that." And it was like within 30 minutes, I think they had him out of country. Like, you don't give our war plans on TV, dumbass.
Yeah, well, he did some dumbass things, exactly. And the other fun thing was a lot of people forget this part of it. The thing that really, like, sort of was the catalyst for him getting known nationally to begin with was his reports on mental institutions and stuff in New York. Do you know about that?
No. Was that when he was with the local news there?
Yeah, he was with a major affiliate, but he wasn't, like, you know, the most well-known guy. He was just one of those, like, on-the-scene reporters, like Geraldo on the scene somewhere kind of deal.
Yeah.
And he got known for it because he would ask, you know, some pretty tough questions and didn't care if he upset people, that kind of thing. And he went out and did a report on, I think it was Creedmoor and some other, like, mental institutions that were in deplorable conditions. You know, like, people were just being... and, you know, warehoused worse than if you were keeping livestock in a dirty, you know, in a dirty slaughterhouse almost. And, you know, people were beaten and sitting in their own filth and not being fed and all kinds of stuff like that. And he somehow got cameras in there and exposed a bunch of that stuff on TV. And he was then known as this, you know, like a sharp investigative reporter for television, right? You know,
I think the earliest I remember any reference to Geraldo Rivera was in the Cheech and Chong album when he was playing the reporter and says, "This is Horrendo Revolver."
Revolver.
That was the earliest reference I remember. So that was a ways back because that was before I was even. I think I was in junior high at the time.
Right. And I think he had it was a little weird for the time too. He had a very extremely white Jewish wife, right?
Yes.
And so he was like, you know, oh, look, he's part of a mixed couple. I know that's nothing today, but that was kind of like, you know, a little bit, oh, my goodness, at the time. And he was sort of a little unconventional. You know, his hair was a little longer. He had been through many phases of this, right? Also, let's not forget the guy who, you know, rather famously allowed the Zapruder film. on television.
That's true. Yes, I forgot. That was probably his biggest. What was that program? It wasn't Nightline. What was his program called? Something Night America?
It was like Good Night America, I believe. Like, you know how they had Good Morning America? Well, that was Good Night America.
Yeah, that was a what, ABC?
Yeah, it was an ABC thing. And he did, you know, lots of little things there where he'd have on, you know, a fairly controversial or a noteworthy guest, and they would have discussions.
Yeah, because that was before Nightline with Ted Koppel.
Oh, yeah, long before. See, Nightline.
When Geraldo did his thing.
Yeah, Nightline came to prominence during the Iran hostage crisis. The Goodnight America thing was in that couple of years pocket running up to the bicentennial, because that was part of the graphic scheme on there. It was, you know, this big USA, very patriotic looking.
That's right, yeah.
You know, if you remember for a time, like everything on TV and everywhere had red, white, and blue on it because we were, you know, gearing up for the grand bicentennial, right? Even trying to do
we went to D.C. We took a trip to D.C. during the bicentennial year, and that was pretty amazing. It was a lot different than just visiting D.C. on a normal weekend. That whole year was pretty cool.
Right. I mean, you know, for goofy kids like me, it was like, why in the hell did they change the quarters, right? Because they had the bicentennial quarter, which they changed the back of the half dollar and the dollar as well. Yeah, for 1976, you'll find the artwork is different on the back of our coin. And the $2 bill was, you know, reissued with the signers of the I think it's the Declaration of Independence is signed on the back of the $2 bill, if memory serves.
I was handed a $2 bill the other day as change, and I had not seen a $2 bill since I was in the Army in Germany, because that's what they used to pay us in, was $2 bills.
They still print them. You don't see them. It's funny because they are acceptable, but I'll tell you, they do confuse cashiers because, you know, people can go a year or two handling money and not see one. It's just like with the,
I was surprised.
Yeah. The dollar coins.
Said, I'm gonna give you this $2 bill. Do you mind? I said, no, I'll keep that. I said, I haven't seen one of those in 40 years.
Yeah, and of course, you know, people know about the old $2 bills and all that stuff, but they changed the design in 76. So, you know, if you have guys signing a document on the back, I'm pretty sure it's the – if you still have it, I'm pretty sure it's the Declaration, right, on the back there. But they changed that design in 76. So I know that was the thing.
Yeah, because overseas, we would – if you were in the Army on payday and you didn't have direct deposits set up, then you would show up in front of the paymaster, and he would actually pay you cash.
Right.
And he would pay you, and it was in $2 bills. And I thought, so this is where they all went. I mean, because you figure how many Army units over there, you know, are paying their people on payday. Well, that's how we'll get rid of the $2 bills, because the locals didn't like them. Because, you know, they see the two, they think 20, and then you go, no, it's only two. Well, forget it, you know. So the first thing you did was either go to the PX or go to the bank and cash them in on bigger bills.
All right. Well, look,
they just circulate them that way.
Right. Well, look, let's get a couple of callers in so we don't run out of time. We were already gone 27 minutes, you and me talking about stuff and batting things around, and I've let callers sit now, so I want to get them in. Like I said, there's three waiting on the line, one waiting on Skype. I'm going to get everybody in. Maybe we'll get two in and pause for a moment. I'll grab a soda, though, because I need something to drink. I need soda, water, something, because I have absolutely run out of my drink. I usually grab it before we start the show, but I don't know. It slipped my mind. So I do need to go grab a drink. But in the meantime, let me get some callers on. Does that sound okay to you?
Sure.
All right. So our first caller, I'm taking you guys in order of the way you called in. Jimmy James is on the line. Jimmy, is there something you're itching to get to? Or do you want to just hang on and we'll bring in everybody to start batting things around? What's up, Jimmy?
News headline. The Long Island serial killer has been apprehended.
Really? Okay. I wonder if Jimmy is serious about this, because I do know there has been talk about a new Long Island serial killer that has only very recently been recognized. The pattern has only recently been recognized, and I was not aware that they captured or... They've discovered what?
This is from 2010. This is the Gildo Beach. murders from back in between 2007 and 2010.
Oh, I don't know. Let's let Jimmy.
Full of bodies.
Let's let Jimmy tell us. What are we talking, Jimmy? Is this an old serial killer or the new one?
Well, he's not, you know, saying anything, but they're accusing him of six deaths right now from 2010 and 2011, but, you know, he killed way more. He killed way more.
Okay, so they've tied him. Is this a recent arrest, though?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Today. So we have a recent arrest that is tied at the very least to a handful of killings in the 2010-2011 era. So you're talking about stuff that's like 12 years old around and maybe more?
Yeah, well, they know they're charging him with six, but they said when they searched that, I mean, it's littered with bones by the beach. I mean,
right.
I think they're just charging him with, I mean, they could charge him probably, I think he killed like 25 people, they think.
Mm. Well, either that or he was utilizing a popular dumping ground and they're going to have to sort out his bodies from the other ones that just happened to get dropped there. Because that does happen too, right, where you end up with a dumping ground that becomes popular and it just so happens. I mean, serial killers usually pick their own dumping ground. They don't go with the general spot that the, you know, the local organized criminals decide to utilize or whatever, whether it's a body of water and whatnot. But this is interesting, by the beach and all that, huh? What was this, just the past couple of days this guy was arrested, Jimmy?
Today.
Yeah, within the last 24 hours.
Okay, so a two-day headline. There you go. So, B. Pete, you seem to know a little bit about this. Anything else you want to add to it, Jimmy, or should I bat it over to B. Pete and see what he's got to say about it?
He can. B. Pete.
Okay, B. Pete, look, I have not caught this story, this headline, just yet. I was hearing a bit of noise in the past couple of weeks from people saying that there are patterns emerging from cases, old cold cases, and some new events that make people believe that, you know, because I always ask that question, where have all the serial killers gone? And I get contacted every now and then by people who say, look, there are investigators out there who do believe they see a pattern here, a pattern there, often in highly populated areas. And they tell me that, hey, Chuck, you know, you're not paying attention. There are new serial killers. They just haven't caught the guy yet. The pattern's happening. The murders are happening. I get those emails, and some of them pan out and some of them don't. Mostly they don't. But either way, it's a point of interest. What do you know about this guy who was just arrested in the past 24 hours?
Apparently, these were murders that took place back between there was a total of like within months they found a total of like 16 victims' bodies.
Wow!
And okay. It was near from Gilgo Beach. Stretching out east to the Pine Barrens of Manorville. So this is all, what, Long Island. And so the four of the bodies that they found back in 2010, they were very similar. All four bodies that were found that were bound in this burlap. But it wasn't like the burlap you see like a potato sack. It was camouflage burlap that was used, like, by hunters to cover things, you know, like a duck blind or your boat,
okay.
You know, when you're out hunting.
Okay.
So they figured that those four were connected. The other ones may be connected, but they knew that those four were definitely, because a lot of times a serial killer might refine how he does things. So you see some changes over a whole period of time.
Okay.
But it's the same person. You know, they might dismiss it. Oh, no, the method over here was this, so this one can't be connected. So they took the 10 that they had, and they said, all right, here's the four we're going to concentrate on. And they didn't, you know, it just went cold. Well, they activated a task force about a year ago, and they took up this case and started hammering it
they started looking at phone data. Apparently, this guy was using burner phones to call and torment the families of these four. He would call at certain times.
They were able to trace the calls.
Okay. Yeah, they were able to trace the calls originally to a payphone, but they knew that there were other calls being made, so to the victims.
Okay.
So apparently this, you know, they started looking into that. So they had some phone data, and then there was a truck, a green truck that was seen by a witness. And they started looking at this guy, and they found that, one, his phone was pinging in Massapequa, but it was also pinging, you know, in these other areas connected with the murders. They started looking at him, and little by little, and apparently there was a discarded pizza box from one of the scenes that one of the officers collected.
Okay.
Well, they found DNA on it. And back then, back in 2007, they didn't have the mitochondrial DNA test that they could do today. So they ran DNA on it, and boom.
Well, I was
all
just
together and arrested this guy. So they've got him. He's been charged with three murders. They're working on the fourth of the burlap bodies, but they're also going through the entire list of everything that they found and trying to connect him to any of those as well. So when they pulled a warrant, they've been looking at this guy for a while. They pulled a warrant, they went and searched his house, and they found some burner phones that had remnants of calls and text messages to victims.
All right. Well, look, let's move it along a little more quick. You said Pine Barrens. Are we talking New Jersey Pine Barrens, or are we talking another pine tree laden area on Long Island? Is it confined to Long Island, or are we talking
the Pine Barrens of Manorville?
Sorry, what?
They're the Pine Barrens of Manorville.
Manorville, okay.
New York.
Okay.
New York.
Well, no problem, because the area that's generally referred to as the Pine Barrens in that area, if you just stop there, full stop, is a huge swath of the small state of New Jersey, which I would totally imagine would be a great place, actually, to dump bodies.
Yeah, the four bodies they found, they were referred to as the Gilgo Beach murders.
Because they were all around that beach, and now it expanded the area, and they think, oh, yeah, and, you know, and here it is. It takes a little time to sort out methodology and pattern and stuff like that. So, look, you answered that one pretty well. Let's move on to another caller. Just so we don't keep people waiting too long.
I just want to point out one thing about this guy. He's not a stereotype. He's an architect, a 60-year-old dude with two kids. So
okay.
A bit different than the usual.
Yeah, okay, so far he is. But as they, you know, as they dig into the story, and who knows, is this really the guy? Is he actually the right suspect? Is he working alone? Be a bunch of things that we'll have to learn about the situation as we go. I mean, you could have looked at John Wayne Gacy at one point as what? The local guy who does construction and painting, you know, and then also does clown shows, right? So there's a possibility. as you dig more and more, never know what you're going to get. Fascinating how he was close to some interesting political characters, John Wayne Gacy. Who knows what they'll dig up on this guy, or if it is indeed the right guy. Maybe he's connected to it, or maybe he's adjacent to it. Who knows? But I did hear about this pattern in Long Island recently. Like BP was saying, there was a fairly obvious dumping ground near a beach. But I guess that expanded a bit, and I haven't read the stories yet, so we'll get on to other callers here. Let's see. Which one has to go up next? Ah, right. Okay. Next up, based on who called in next, is Vance. Fantastic. Are you fantastic, my friend? Fantastic. Excuse me.
I'm just super duper.
You're super duper?
Super duper. How are you?
Is that above or below Vance-tastic?
It's right below.
All right, all right. Well, you know, it still sounds better than fair or okay. So I guess count your blessings, right?
Yeah, you don't want to know the truth. You don't want to know the truth, you know.
You know, whoever does when they...
I'm a problem.
Yeah, listen, whoever does when they ask you that question, let's be honest. Whoever wants to hear the list of... And I say that a lot. You want me to tell you the truth, or you want, you know... Which one do you want here? Right? And
I usually just say, I say to a lot of people, you know, like in the store and stuff, even, you know, how you doing today, sir? And I say, I'm pretty crappy. How about you? And And sometimes they don't even acknowledge it because they didn't even hear it, if it's a check or, you know, waiter person or whatever. But yeah, I get a lot of laughs from that one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It reminds me of a guy who had a recording on his phone, which he had a female voice on there. You know, the typical female voice you used to hear whenever you called and, like a number was disconnected. There was pretty much this very same female voice that was out there. The number you have reached, you know, exactly that voice. He had a woman that sounded exactly like that. Stating that the number you have reached is actually the number you called. Please wait and leave a message. And the funny thing is that people, just by hearing that tone, they would hang up and call back and hang up and call back. And just like, oh, I obviously dialed the wrong number. They wouldn't leave the message because they weren't actually listening to the recording. They were just picking up on the woman's tone and assuming, oh, I must have dialed the number wrong, like the number's incorrect, it's disconnected, something like that, because that's the voice I get for that. Like, they didn't hear the words. They just took the cue. You know, it was like a Pavlov kind of thing. Anyway, I don't know why I went into that, but what's on your mind tonight, Vance?
Oh, nothing in particular. I was noting that they were, the CIA or whatever, stopped their investigation and, you know, no idea where the coke came from. And, you know, just to me, that was all just a psyop. That was just a drill they ran to, you know, now they're going to make some new special rules and check everybody's pockets, you know, or whatever. You know?
Well, why not?
I can't even imagine, like, if you're going and visiting at the White House, that, you know, when you go in and you got to go in the room and they go through the metal detector. I can't imagine they're making you pull your pockets inside out and, you know.
Well, yeah,
maybe
I mean,
they do, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Leave all your keys and everything, you know.
Even to go to a courthouse, right, you got to empty your pockets. You get wanded, you know, for metal and stuff like that. So I'm imagining you got to go through that kind of stuff to go to the White House anyway. I don't know. It's a weird situation, although B. Pete might have some reporting on that. I don't know if we talked about it on air, but you were talking to me about it before we went to air. The Secret Service, not the CIA, but the Secret Service has apparently decided they're not investigating anymore, or at least that's what they said. But there are some.
Yeah, they closed the case.
They closed the case. But there are odd outlets making some interesting statements. Did we talk about that on air or was that off air just now, BP?
That was off air. Off air.
Okay. I don't know if you want to bring that out, but I find it hilarious what you were saying.
Sure. Real quickly, you know, the news has come out with it, found the coke, and then it, you know, changed places. It's the fastest moving coke I've ever seen in my life. It can traffic itself. It can move from this end of the building all the way to the other end of the building, from the public sector to the private sector. Well, you know, the Secret Service comes out and says, we've closed our investigation. We didn't find any fingerprints. We didn't find any DNA. We really, it's in an area that didn't have any video camera surveillance, so we really don't know, and we can't prove who the owner was, so we're closing the case. But I've heard from several sources that Guns and Ammo, of all places, is running the story that, and Sean Hannity has said that he's had an inside source that told him they knew who had the cocaine, they did find some fingerprints, and that it is a, And they've been real reluctant to push this, but they're saying they're waiting for confirmation. But the claim is that it was a member of the Biden family that had it. But you're not going to hear that. You're not going to find any of that out. It's been whitewashed. They've closed the case. Forget it. But in the briefing that the Secret Service gave to members of Congress, it's been reported that they found pot there twice last year, once in July and I think the other time in September. But because it was below the 2 ounces, which is the cutoff for misdemeanor charges in D.C., see, D.C. delegalized pot. The federal government hasn't.
They decriminalized,
you mean. It's illegal to have it on federal property.
They decriminalized
it. So technically it is. Yeah, well, they decriminalized it, but the federal government has.
Yeah, no, but you said, you said delegalized. So I was saying, no, you mean to say decriminalized.
Decriminalized it. They lowered the threshold. Anything over 2 ounces is a misdemeanor. If it's below 2 ounces, it doesn't even make the cutoff for an arrest in D.C.
Right.
So.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
But, I mean, it's pot, you know. Okay. So, suppose somebody had some miracle marijuana. Big deal. You know, pot was found in the White House. I'm surprised they're not growing it on the roof. If I lived there, I would be.
Listen.
I mean, that'd be the most secure place to grow it.
You know, I think if you're going to work in the White House, you should be issued a little bit of weed. You're one of the few guys I know that actually uses the word pot to describe weed anymore. But sorry, I just noticed that. By the way, we do have two other callers waiting on the regular phone lines, and I've got a Skype caller that I should join in. I think I'm going to try and grab the Skype caller first, but it is interesting. And then I'll get to you, Harlan, on the line, and I got another caller after that. So. Everybody hang tight. We'll get to everybody. Might wind up taking a break before we get all the way through the callers. But, yeah, no, it's an interesting thing. What is going on? Do we know anything new, though, outside of them closing the investigation and what Guns and Ammo has reported thus far? I mean, is that it?
No, I mean, if you think of, well, other than the fact that this is the most secure, surveilled building in this country, and somebody can walk in and drop a bag of a Coke and they can't figure out who it is.
No, that's just.
I find that utterly amazing.
No, that's absolute nonsense.
Kind of like the Pentagon and, you know, no pictures of a jet, you know.
No, look, there is somebody. It just because we're not seeing it or they're not telling us doesn't mean they don't have it. And if you mean to tell me, again, I could figure out if somebody dropped, you know, something in a 7-Eleven. I'm very sure that the White House is better surveilled than a 7-Eleven is. You know, and that's nonsense. I'm sure they know exactly where it was dropped, who dropped it off. I mean, I doubt people are wearing masks or fooling facial recognition at the White House. So, you know, give me a break. Yeah.
This wasn't dropped. It was in a box that was locked. So someone has a key.
A locked
box. On top
box.
Of everything else.
See, now, I didn't hear the locked box.
Yeah,
I heard
the...
Because it's moved locations a few times in the report.
Yeah,
so what was the final resting place? Sorry?
Yeah, they've been lying a lot. Yeah, they've been lying a lot, but this is in the working part of the White House. It was found in the library, and it was found in a locked box where someone locked it up and someone was going to go pick it up.
Okay, I thought they went past the library story, though. I thought that was deemed to be no good, and now we're on to it. I thought the latest wasn't the library. I'm confused, so I could be wrong.
The latest is
library, but the truth is.
Oh, okay. You're saying that's the truth, although the latest is not that. Okay, I got you. Fair enough. That could be true as well. Yeah.
There's a small foyer where you come in the west entrance. Like when the motorcade pulls in or the vice president shows up, they park the car and enter through there. And it's also where employees enter. But there's a small foyer in there that people lock their phones and things up in. And so it's a bunch of cubby holes with doors. It's kind of like, you know, going to the post office with a post office box.
Right.
You've got this little, all these cubbies that are lockable. So you can put your phone, your car keys and stuff like that in there and lock it. So somebody had a key, but the problem was they were saying that, well, they didn't have access to it. And I'm sitting here thinking, you tell me that the Secret Service can't get the FBI to come in there and pick a stupid cubby lock. You could probably do it with a damn with a couple paper clips and have it open. You know, that kind of security. But it's in the West Wing. It's in an area that's got like 9 Secret Service agents at desks all around this place. So they know who had it. They expect people to believe that there's no way they can find out who actually had this stuff.
Oh, please.
It's complete bull. But the thing is, people will believe it. That's what I find so amazing about this whole thing.
Well, I don't know what to believe.
People will believe that they just can't find out. They don't know. It's just so many people for coming through there.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, all they got to do is rewind to a certain time and somebody can figure it out and done. And especially if it's in some, like, block box. Captain Trips has joined us on the Skype, I believe. Hopefully he can hear us well. Captain, we're talking about cocaine in the White House and the changing location of the bag thus far. And also we've...
I think it's a drug test every
Sorry. Hunter's knocking at the door. before. He had a bag of something he wanted to share with me.
Well, you're privileged, I'll tell you. And meanwhile, it may not be Hunter's Coke, though. You know,
I actually don't think it was, to be quite honest with you. I think this one time they may be telling the truth. I don't think it was his. It probably was some low level freaking idiot that dropped it and doesn't want to lose their job.
The actual rumor is that it was a member of the Biden family, and I'm putting my money on Joe's daughter, whatever her name is, the one that had her diary supposedly lost/stolen. Yeah.
Oh yeah, the one that was showering with old Grandpa Joe.
Is that right? Anyway,
it's curious. Apparently, that's what the big thing out of the diary was her documenting that this was happening.
That was in somebody's diary. But,
yeah, I think that was.
Yeah, it was in the daughter's diary.
Ashley Biden's diary. I don't know how old she is now, and I'm assuming that this went. But apparently, she's had a rough go at it as well.
Fair enough. So
I think she's in her 30s.
Trips, we got two.
Yeah, I don't think she's terrible. Oh.
Yeah, we got two other callers waiting on the regular phone line, so I wanted to get to what is, if there's anything on your mind. I just told you what we had talked about so far. That, and of course, the serial killer that has apparently been arrested in the past 24 hours in Long Island. So the answer to where have all the serial killers gone, there's one supposedly, allegedly at this point. But there have been people talking about different patterns. Of course, I've had William Ramsey on here to talk about the smiley face killers, which is getting a bit more attention in different corners of the internet right now, different social media. It's getting a bit more traction, which is odd because I didn't know what to think about the smiley face killer thing, but apparently that's a thing, and who knows what that'll be linked to. Very, very weird goings on. And we also talked about AI and the actor strike and the writer strike, et cetera, et cetera. But what's on your mind tonight, Captain?
I just heard about the whole serial killer thing today when I saw a little brief story about it. I got to be honest. I've been following this whole Sound of Freedom thing. We went and saw that movie. Actually, the day after it was released, I did a little bit of background checking myself. This guy that is portrayed in the movie is legit. It certainly seems to be. And I got to tell you, I'm almost 48 years old. I've never shed a tear at a movie. This time was different. And you know, I thought I was naive for a moment, and I thought, well, you know, I can't imagine that the crazy establishment people are going to go after this movie. I mean, it wasn't a political movie at all. So when they tell you it's not political, it's not political. In fact, the funny thing about it is they actually portray the Department of Homeland Security in a very positive light. I mean, they are certainly not going after the government here, which I think was actually a fault of the movie. But at any rate, and then seeing the Rolling Stone and you know, kind of the typical establishment rag come out and try to tie it to QAnon. And it's, you know, the one that got me was it was a conspiracy movie for right-wing fathers with brainworms. And I thought, you know what? You MFers have reached a new low. You really, truly have. So, I mean, okay. We all know this stuff goes on. Anyway, sorry. I've been kind of diving into that recently.
No problem. I'm not really Yeah, I'm not really all that familiar with the movie, but there's your new Twitter bio. You can be a right wing father with a brainworm. That's
right wing father with brainworms.
Yeah, I'm sure that could be on a lot of people's Twitter bios now. There's a new phrase for you. I'm not really familiar with this movie you're talking about, though.
So what
about how they?
Go ahead,
Jimmy.
Oh, I was just gonna get your thought on you also, I'm sure, heard that the left has declared physical fitness to be part of white supremacy, right? You read that?
You know what? It's funny you say that, because that was actually going to be the next thing out of my mouth. And, you know, that story, it was re-released. Because I remember that coming out. It was either sometime last year or the year before, talking about if you're concerned with physical fitness and health, you must be a right wing extremist.
So Richard Simmons is a right wing extremist?
Richard Simmons is a right wing extremist. Oh. Apparently Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, let's be honest. Schwarzenegger and Screw Your Freedom. I mean, you know, like him or not, he had to be into fitness at one point in his life. I mean, this stuff is so off the rails anymore that I can't help but laugh at it. But then I think there's people that are buying this stuff. They're believing this. I mean, I don't believe it, but the general brain dead population out there is swallowing and laughing this stuff up. Anyway,
there are people who think the thumbs up is a racist sign out trip.
Yes.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, I saw that.
Somehow this is a secret.
Yeah. Yeah, so I started using thumbs up at all possible, at any possible occasion, so I can use it.
Well, look, you know what?
I wouldn't want to be offensive, so I just switched to my middle finger.
Yeah, well, look, I've had people tell me that the OK symbol is three sixes, too. So, you know, I mean, what are you going to do?
I've seen that one, too.
you know, like to literally go OK, I'm sure everybody knows what that hand signal looks like. A bunch of things like that. I mean, being of an Italian ethnic base, I got to say that hand signals are part of my culture, and I don't appreciate all you people appropriating it. So, you know, the thumbs up. Thing, not necessarily Italian, but we talk with our hands.
I can't even sleep talk without my hands, let alone if I'm awake and talking.
That's the problem. If I'm talking in my sleep, you know, Kim's got a duck, because I'm using my hands. I mean, it's just the way it is.
I didn't beat her. I was talking in my sleep, and I'm Italian. Oh, okay, I got it. Sorry, sir. You're fine.
Yeah, okay. Well, look, you got to be a little more careful with that. I know. Yeah, exactly. But I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take one more caller before we go to break. I'm sure you got a couple other things on your mind, too, Trips. And I want to actually ask you a little more about this movie, because I don't know about this movie at all. This is very alien to me. And the thumbs up thing, I don't know. I always think of the thumbs up thing as just a goofy sort of outdated. I mean, how long has that been around?
Forever. I mean, quite frankly, I've always used it. More in my communications with work. I mean, if I'm getting text messages or, you know, I get stuff about, you know, can you check this out, check this out. It's a whole lot easier to hit the thumbs up than to type, yes, I'll be right there.
Well, the funniest thing is people make all these interpretations about hand signals, and they never study the people that actually use them for things. I mean, the hand mandalas that are utilized by secret societies, you know, different handshakes, hand signals, stuff like that. The Crips do a whole thing where they, do the motions. I forget what they call a Crip walk or whatever, and you see them making a whole bunch of hand signals. These are, you know, New World Order Freemason hand mandalas that the Crips are using. I always find that fascinating. Some things are just universal. You know, you make hand signals. I mean, sorry, go ahead. What were you saying, Trips?
No, I'm agreeing with you. I mean, people talk with their hands, not just Italians. We do it primarily, but, you know, we're far from the only ones.
No, it's an exaggeration. Yeah, I mean,
but it's ridiculous. It's just the more. I mean, each day that goes by. I mean, it's whoever. I wish I coined this phrase, but clown world is so perfect.
Right. No, definitely. And we are definitely in clown world. And, oh, by the way, there was some thing I was reading about a woman who was convicted recently who had apparently dressed up like a clown and shot her lover's wife when she was dressed up like a clown a couple of years ago. Apparently pled guilty recently.
Yeah.
I saw that story. You know that story?
I've heard it. I'm not familiar with details, but I have heard the story. I think that just came out or was talked about recently because, yeah, I think she was just convicted.
Yeah, she was just convicted, but I think it happened in, like, 2012 initially that this, like, all of a sudden. Yeah, like this clown shows up on this family's front yard. And people go out to investigate it, and the clown just pulls out a gun and shoots the woman to death. And it turns out it was a woman shooting the woman to death because she wanted the husband. We find out all these years later. So it's
you know, if yeah. What's her name? What was the remember? Buttafuoco was the guy. What was the girl? She tried to kill his wife.
Amy,
she should have dressed up.
Yeah, Amy Fisher was her name. Yes.
That's right. I mean, you can't forget the name Buttafuoco.
Yeah.
Yeah, this woman was Sheila Keen Warren. She pled guilty to second degree murder back in April, and the murder was in 1990.
Oh, it was longer than 2012.
They arrested her 27 years later.
Right. Okay. Well, I knew that there was some key to this in 2012. Maybe that was when certain things started to come to light or whatever, and it took them a long time to get back around it. I didn't realize it was in the 90s when that happened. But
I didn't either.
I'm surprised that the...
Yeah, three-decade case.
Yeah, I'm surprised that the recent conviction didn't capture more headlines, though, just because of the bizarre nature of it. No, but Amy Fisher shooting Mary Jo Buttafuoco in the head didn't kill her. But messed her up pretty good.
No,
Joey Buttafuoco was a just a guy in the media, you know, for a while there in the trash media. I think they even did porno at one point. Didn't they do a porno where, you know, Joey and Amy Fisher actually have sex on camera too, and like all kinds of weird stuff like that?
I know John Wayne Bobbitt had his pornography start after he met with that unfortunate accident with the meat sleeper.
Yeah, I think it was called
Buttafuoco.
I think they literally, you know, a perfectly built-in joke, as they called it, like John Wayne Bobbitt uncut or something like that. And So what would happen nowadays if a Long Island Lolita? See, there you go. There's a link to a Long Island, like the serial killer. The Long Island Lolita is what they were calling her, right? Amy Fisher.
I remember that.
Yeah. So anyway, look, we got other callers, and I've been holding them up. Sorry. What'd you say, Captain?
No. Go ahead. I was going to make an off-color comment about Bobbitt, but please take the other callers. I was going to say now they would just call it gender reassignment surgery.
I was thinking the same thing, but I wasn't going to say it. I'm glad you did. Okay.
I'll say it because this will be my last point before you go to the callers.
Yeah.
I'll say it because I have finally had to step into this whole transgender nonsense discussion. Because they're going after children. I don't care what adults do. You go for it. Knock yourself out. Have fun. I'm not going to pay for it, but I'm not going to stop you either. At any rate.
So on to the caller, you know, on that note.
Yeah.
Okay, I believe we got Harlan on the line. Harlan, are you with us, or did I put you to sleep yet?
Yeah, I kind of dozed off on you for a minute. I was having a nightmare.
I'm sorry.
I thought I was getting sodomized by chessboard. But
okay, you're dreaming of sodomy. You're dreaming of sodomy, and we're talking about forcible gender reassignment, right? With John Wayne Bobbitt and what happened to him. Well, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I thought I was getting sodomized by a chessboard during Trump's second term, but, you know, I woke up, but, yeah, I'm all right now.
All right, as long as you're all right now. I'm sorry, man. I know you've been on hold a while, and we got another caller on hold as well, but first let's get to your thoughts. Obviously, we've been around talking some pretty crazy stuff so far, but you got something you want to throw on the table as well?
Well... You know, y'all threw so much out there. I mean, it'd be hard to, you know, really grab something. But I did see a summary on the movie Sound of Freedom. And, you know, I've not actually watched it yet, but sounds like to me it's just something that it just took off and the media didn't like it. You know, just like the other guy said, they're trying to tie it to QAnon. But... You know, who knows? I mean, they got to have something to bitch about every day. You got to have something going on to keep everybody distracted.
Exactly.
What's really going on in the world.
Well, fair enough, but tell me about this movie, because I haven't even seen a summary on it. I've totally missed this movie, The Sound of Freedom, it's called. What is your understanding? What's the movie about, even though you haven't seen it yet?
From what I understand, it's about a Homeland Security officer. He finds a little boy in a human trafficking situation down in Calexico, California.
Oh, boy.
And he goes out on a mission to climb. Try to find his sister, and it's supposed to be based on a true story.
Okay.
And they set up a guy, and they get a bunch of other pedos, and they basically wind up busting them, and that was basically it.
Okay. And, Trips. Well, let me just ask Trips about it real fast. Well, let me just ask Harlan. Let me ask Trips about it real fast. Is that a fair summary that Harlan just gave? He hasn't seen the movie. You have, so
yeah. That's a pretty good thumbnail. So this guy, his name is Tim Ballard. He started off in the CIA, which instantly put my hackles up. But he apparently didn't stay with the CIA very long. After 9/11, he decided to join Homeland Security.
Okay.
He was working at the southern border. Ended up getting assigned to human trafficking assignment. He's a, you know, kind of just run of the mill guy. He's got, I think, four or five kids of his own. And, you know, like I think anyone who's a parent that has half of a heart would be touched by this stuff. And, you know, there was a scene in the beginning of the movie that I thought really encapsulated it. And just to put a little more background in it. So the actor Jim Caviezel, he was the one that played Christ in The Passion of the Christ. And he apparently has done some stuff with QAnon or affiliated with QAnon in the past. So kind of set himself up for that, unfortunately. At any rate, he plays this guy, Ballard. Well, interestingly, Jordan Peterson actually did a podcast interviewing both of these guys, and Ballard tells the story. But like I said, there was a scene in the beginning of the movie where he's working with another agent, and the other agent just basically says, "I can't do this anymore. I just, you know, I can't do it." He's like, "You know, how many of these people have you put behind bars and tell them or whatever?" And he says, "Yeah, but how many kids have you actually worked with?" And then it turns out, like Harlan was saying, he ends up on a border crime and actually finds a kid that they're looking for in a van with this pedophile. The story starts out with and probably this is the worst as far as the most touching. This guy, I want to say they're in Honduras, and it's a guy. He's a single father. He's got a 10-year-old daughter who sees one of these ads for, you know, trying to get kids into modeling and show business and whatnot. And she's begging, you know, she begs him to let her go audition for this. And he brings his kids to this, audition, and he goes to drop his kids off, and they won't let him in the room. They basically close the door in his face. Now, as a father, I would have knocked the door down, but that's just me. So anyway, the kids get trafficked, and it just goes into this whole thing about how this, you know, this particular case really hit this Ballard guy, and he kind of sets off on a mission to the point where leads me to believe, and this is confirmed, he quits his job because, you know, initially his boss at Homeland Security is giving him the resources that he needs, and then he wants to go a little bit further. Basically, he ends up tracking these people to Colombia, and they're tied up with the drug cartels, and it's a part of Colombia that the Colombian government won't even go into. And so Homeland Security tells him, "No, come home." And he basically says, "F you, I quit." Interesting cast of characters. And the one guy who ends up playing a pivotal role, he was a drug cartel member. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it's fairly high up. Gets busted, does his time, and kind of gets out of jail. And he's telling the story. He said, you know, he gets back out of jail and he wants to go back to his previous life. And so he hires a prostitute. Not to get back to his previous life, but I guess this is what the guy does. So anyway, he has sex with a prostitute, and I guess she's getting dressed, and he notices either on her fingernails or her toenails, she had, like, smiley face painted on her toe. I think it was her toe. It said smiley face painted on her toes. And the guy says to her, she had told him she was 25, and you're not 25 years old, are you? How old are you? She's 14.
Oof.
And so this former drug kingpin basically has a, you know, conversion on the road to Damascus, uses his connections where he just goes out and he buys these children, as if he's going to, you know, participate in the trafficking. He buys these children and gets them home. And you know, the nice thing about it wasn't graphic as far as, you know, it doesn't show anything that could even smack of child pornography. There's a few scenes where it, you know, they imply, you know, what's going on.
Right.
But it, you know, it's just one of those movies that I don't know, I think anyone with a heart, whether you're a parent or not, I mean, if you're human, hell, if you're a mammal, you should be, you know, would be touched by it. And, you know, and then just watching the media attack it and going, okay, so, you know, there's all these theories and people have all this, you know, talk about how the establishment has moved into the pedophilia and child trafficking thing. And then when you see the establishment attack a group that's trying to call it out, it makes you think, you know, they're probably right. These people probably are knee deep in this crap.
There's an interesting story too about how the film was released. This thing sat on a shelf for 5 years.
Yes.
It was finished back in 2018, and 20th Century Fox. Yeah, 20th Century Fox had bought the they had the distribution rights, and then they were bought by Disney, and Disney put it on the shelf. Said we're not going to release it. So the filmmakers went and bought the distribution rights back from the company. And then they went to Angel Films, Angel Studios.
Yes, Angel
they
Films.
Went to
Angel,
them.
Yeah, Angel Films, Angel Studios. Mm-hmm.
And Angel Studios, you know, they said, okay, we've got this film. So they went to a group of investors, 100,000 investors on an online presentation.
Uh-huh.
And they voted and said yes. So they decided to set up they purchased the worldwide distribution rights, and then they set up equity crowdfunding. They had 7,000 people invest, and so they met their $5 million goal in 2 weeks to be able to distribute and market the film. And so that's how it made it to the theaters. You know, there was some
Tony Robbins, the self-help with self-improvement dude, apparently is a heavy funder of this film as well.
Well, it's weird to me
that it took 5 years for it to see the light of day.
Well, no, it's not really that amazing to me that it took 5 years because, you know, on the one hand, you know, the people that want to sell certain kinds of entertainment want to sell entertainment that people are going to be excited about, want to see more than once, you know. And how often do you want to expose yourself to this kind of, you know, darkness? You know what I'm saying? It's not like a horror movie comedy kind of thing. It's not,
right. It's
not, you know, fun and games. It's not, you know, goofballs doing it's nothing like that. It's dark, ugly content, you know? So, sure, there's an argument to be made about informing people, but again, you know, who wants to watch this repeatedly? I don't know if you ever caught the shows where I talked about, you know, people that get sort of addicted to watching like Law and Order SVU, you know, dramatizations of, you know, human trafficking, child abuse, things like this over and over and over again. It starts to affect you. In certain ways, and I don't know, you know, I can see why, and Disney is weird when it comes to this sort of stuff. You know, they it's like, oh, we got to be squeaky clean, but you know, they're not. They want to present themselves as squeaky clean. There's other companies who want to present themselves as like, look, we're just in the entertainment business, you know, and this is a truly dark, ugly piece of subject matter, especially if it's attached to, you know, based on a true story. Who knows how heavily based on that true story it is? You know, obviously do your research, figure it out. And again, I'm just learning about this because I hadn't even, wasn't even aware there was a controversy about it. Nothing. I guess I lost on that loop because I've been watching other things. But, it really, I mean, you know, there's a lot to be said about that. And if you can independently fund it, you know, by all means, go for it. But I don't know. There would be something to be said for the strangeness of somebody who wants to repeatedly go to the theater or, you know, or pay for it over and over again or watch it on cable over and over again. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I couldn't watch it again. I know the sense you're using the word entertainment, but to me, this was, if you're entertained by this, you're part of the problem.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's the thing, though, is like, like, you know, but there is informative entertainment, though, where you can fill people in on history, or you can, you know, dramatize certain things that people might have read about, you know, like, and I find that interesting, even in some of the ugly circumstances, when it comes to wars and things, you know, show people what it's really like, give them a sense of what the historical event was actually like, or whatever. But I mean, in this case, it's almost like, I don't know, you know, you want people to be informed, but I don't know if I want them to experience this. You know, like, I don't know how behind it I would get as somebody who is in the business of producing media, films and things. So I kind of get how there might be resistance, you know. Yeah. So
it's amazing, though.
Go ahead. No, we're going to go to a break soon.
Well, they had a $14.5 million budget, and it's already in 10 days pulled in $58.5 million, and that's with a lot of negative reviews out there from people who haven't even seen the film yet. I mean, it's amazing how the media jumped on this story, and they've tried to connect it to QAnon and all this other stuff going on.
Right.
And the gentleman whose life the story was based on said, yes, there is some embellishment in the film. He says, but our Operation Underground Railroad, we did rescue 54 kids, but we rescued 123 other individuals in addition to these children. Now, the movie emphasizes the child trafficking, but,
right,
you know, there's all kinds of slavery going on out there. So, you know, they're what, 175 people they helped rescue? It, you know, it's a pretty compelling story. Yeah.
No, it's definitely.
But it's amazing the negativity that's been thrown out there before this thing even hit, you know, 3 days in the box office. You've got people writing negative reviews of something they haven't even watched yet.
Right. Look, very true. And
that's the problem.
Does anyone else think that the reason they're so mad is because this thing ended up kicking the last Indiana Jones's butts?
I mean, I think that's probably I think it's probably part of it. Yeah, apparently. So this film was released in just a limited number of theaters, and, you know, Indiana Jones is released everywhere. And, you know, you go to the big cinemas and they're playing it on four screens. They're playing it. Someone at the movie theater would tell me, he said, yeah, they were running Indiana Jones every 20 minutes and the theaters were empty. Mm. And then you have, I mean, you had people fighting over seats to see this movie.
Yeah,
it's funny. AMC Theaters was the victim of a rumor mill when this thing during the opening week. Social media started having videos pop up and rumors around that AMC Theaters was canceling screenings and disrupting the viewing by, you know, inventing technical difficulties or disabling the air conditioning in the theater so people would be uncomfortable and leave. And the head of AMC came out and said, you know, this stuff is not true. In fact, AMC added 450 additional theaters today that they're going to put this thing in. So
I just saw that. Yeah, and apparently go ahead. I'm sorry, B.B.
Well, I was going to say, you know, it's done better than people thought it would do. It's put a lot of talk about the subject matter out there. And I can't believe anybody would just automatically be negative about something, you know, this subject matter. You know, human trafficking is something that goes on all over the world. And you would think that people would be supportive of, you know, this guy's effort and this organization that they put together. But no. I mean, there's a lot of critical stuff. They're being blamed for commercializing child trafficking by telling the story. I mean, how ridiculous is that? It's just amazing the negativity that's out there.
Yeah. And I can tell you the movie, it was not sensational. I mean, it wasn't even violent. I mean, when he finally tracks this girl down, this agent kills one person. I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't, you know, there wasn't violence in it, but it's not even like a shoot 'em up. I mean, the guy goes in by himself under the guise of being a UN doctor. Mm-hmm. And they get to this, kind of, I guess it's kind of a checkpoint, whatever. And, so the drug cartel lets the Kim Ballard character in, but he doesn't let the other guy in with him. And, you know, so, that was my point as well, BP. It's like, okay, fine. Can we please set aside the politics? These are freaking children. They're not Democrats, Republicans, liberal, progressives, conservatives, whatever. They're kids. And, yeah, I mean, the fact that this movie is just calling this, you know, bringing this to light and then gets attacked as just nothing but conspiracy theory makes me think, okay, why are you people going on the attack again? What are you afraid of? You just don't want to acknowledge the fact that this is happening?
I hate that positioning that you just went to. I hate that. It drives me nuts because there are people that obsessively discuss this, okay? And quite honestly, they're out there in podcast land. Sometimes they're just, that's all it is. That's all they see. They see child trafficking everywhere. And it's very off-putting if that is a high level of what it is that you're presenting in your content. Like, why are you obsessing on this? I mean, if you have a personal reason for it, I get it. If you have, you know, and I know that it's important. It's not something that should be ignored, certainly. But it's very weird to me when, like, there are just people that it seems like every other word out of their mouth, it's like they're looking to talk about it. They're looking to discuss it. And it gets to, I don't know, creep me out on a weird level. When somebody's
Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that one, Chuck. I see exactly where you're coming from, and I, you know, that was me. For the most part, I mean, my wife isn't obsessed with it, but she was definitely a little more, you know, versed in the topic than I was.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, it was something. It could be the fact that, you know, my career for almost 30 years has been in caring for children.
Right.
And, you know, I know where you're coming from. Yeah, there are people that are so obsessed with it, it makes you wonder, okay, why are you so obsessed with this?
Right.
But, you know, then I had to take a step back. Because, I mean, the last 3 years, you can certainly accuse me validly of being obsessed with all the health crap that's been shoved down our throats. So, I get both sides the argument that the direction you're coming at from it.
But there's a personal stake in the health thing, right? And people would say, well, of course, it's a personal stake if you're a parent, if you're a human being. And yeah, I get that. There is, but look, man, the world is being destroyed 80 different ways, right? And I mean, there's a whole lot of things that need to be addressed. And when you hear somebody get really amped up over this, it's very weird to me. And like I said, you know, again, with the goal of trying to sell a movie, I can see how that would be sort of dangerous. You're hoping that people are not wanting to watch it over and over and over again, because then you wonder why. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Your repeat visitors.
I was going to say, a lot of the ticket sales, I know they had a program in place where you could basically buy more. You know, obviously you could buy the tickets if you wanted to go to the show, but they did this pay it forward thing where you could buy tickets. And I guess leave them on the website or whatever, and the studio would then distribute them to people who wanted to see it, but, you know, at this point in time, you know, couldn't come up with the 30 bucks to go to the movie.
Yeah, it's damn expensive as hell to go. And that's the other thing is AMC's, you know, oh, AMC's trying to sabotage. I don't think AMC would try to sabotage anything they were showing right now, because they're all trying to make something out of, you know, they're not doing that well post-COVID. Look, I'm going to go to a break because we just need to. We haven't taken one yet. We're well over an hour. I've got people waiting a long time on the phones. Everybody waited extra long tonight because I gave everybody chances to talk about stuff and tried to transition fairly, but stick around, guys. I know I have at least one caller. Nope, two callers on the line waiting. One of them for quite a while. And hopefully we'll get to you out there. Join us, 319-527-5016. The Ocelli Effect open mic Friday night. Continue.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold. Silver. The stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough.
Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge.
WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks, by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to Larry-Hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at Amazon.com in digital or physical form.
You're listening to the Ocelli.com radio network.
Chili.com.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never before published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools? Why? The Vietnam War, Nuclear Bombs and Nation Building in Southeast Asia, by author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this. Why? The Vietnam War, Nuclear Bombs and Nation Building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961. Get your copy today at Amazon.com. Why? The Vietnam War, by author Mike Swanson.
Shelly.com Radio Network.
Revelation through conversation.
So here we are with the last segment of the Ocelli Effect Friday night open mic, and it is happening. So far, Jimmy James has joined us. Vance has joined us. Let's see who else. Harlan and Captain Trips all together. Captain Trips joined us via Skype. There is just enough time for you guys to join us as well if you're listening live right now about, let's see, is it 40 minutes after 9? It is. 40 minutes after 9 p.m. Eastern here on the 14th day, right? Yeah, 14th day of July. July is flying by, looks like to me. But anyway, I want to get to the one caller remains on the line who has not been added to the conversation, so I'm going to get to him right away. If anybody else calls in, I'll try and squeeze you in, but I want to give everybody time to say what it is they want to say or add what they want to add before we're all done, and we'll be done in about a half hour or so from now, but probably it'll go a little longer because that's just the nature of the beast lately anyway. So let's see now. We have... Boop, boo, where is he? There he is. All right. Yeah, the blind guy trying to operate the board, the virtual board, if you will. So, okay, maybe the last finally. Caller of the night. There he is, finally.
Shelly has let the spent one on the air. All right, guys.
Yikes.
How y'all doing?
I do glad believe this here. Is Spent Kent. And, Kent, did you recently start up another radio show?
Oh, yeah, that's kind of part of the reason I'm here. I actually had a great day. Just get this out of the way real quick. I won't take up a bunch of time because we're short on time. But I hung out with some family that came into town, had a great day, took the night off, drank a few beers, and talked to Lee. And we started a new show, and we wanted to personally invite you on the show this Sunday, you know, 2 days from now, if you want to come on. And might as well extend that offer to anybody. And it's called the Sunday Night Titans Bottom of the Feed Show because we'll always tell the truth and be at the bottom of the feed, we all always are. So
Sunday Night Bottom of the Feed. Yeah. All right. Well, what time does it air?
6 p.m. Eastern every Sunday.
Okay, that does mean that I could potentially make it.
Maybe next weekend or the weekend after, he's going to go see Green Jello. Yeah, he's buddies with the guy or whatever. They're going to be at a bar and everything. He said he might try to do a show when he's at that show with those guys.
Green Jello.
So we'll see, but...
I remember those guys.
You know, it's on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They did the Three Little Pigs. Yeah, they did the Three Little Pigs. Let's see, who was the drummer's name was what, Dookie Flyswatter or something like that, right? Wasn't that the guy's name, or am I mixing people up?
I have no clue. I forget. It's been like, you know, 25 years. But apparently he you know, knows one of the guys and the bartenders and everything. So he might do a show depending how, you know, capable of doing the whole responsible running the boards and, you know, taking care of all that stuff with his phone or whatever he's got.
Right.
He probably won't do a show. He'll probably party and have fun with his, you know, band and his friends and everything.
Well, I don't know. You know, most people can't.
Yeah, I get it.
Most people can't drink heavily and do a show, but Lee can. So I don't know. Maybe. And you're of course talking about Lee Pierre, and that's going to be interesting. So I will pop up on one of those shows. I will do that. Now I don't know which one.
Invited on Sunday, 2 nights from now. You know.
I will definitely pop up on one of those, but I recall, I'd say Green Jello is funny, or later on they had to change it to Green Jelly because they got sued, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure, like, he'll have all that lowdown, but that's going to be like either next weekend or the weekend after. I think it's actually next weekend.
Okay.
But yeah, Sunday we're going to be kicking the second show. The first one was, I had my old bass/guitar player/songwriter. Ant is what we call him, Spankhead Ant. Kel Gackis are getting back. Going to be working some songs out. Me and Spankhead Ant, our little band is called Kel Gackis. It's on Facebook, a little page and stuff. Got
okay.
Stuff on there.
Cool.
Nothing big, but it's fun. And then doing the new show, you know, the Bottom of the Feed show with Lee Pierre, the Mouth. You know, it's all's good. Everybody's invited, so.
Great. Well, how can people
on here tonight and
how can people
back to you guys and say, hey, I love you guys.
Right. Well, Kent, tell people how they can listen to it, because now you gave people a name of it. But how do they find it? How do they listen to it? What's it on?
Well, the best thing to do is probably go to Blog Talk Radio or whatever it is. What is it? Blog Talk. You know which one I'm talking about.
Right. Okay. Blog Talk Radio. Sure.
Yeah, he's Bottom of the Feed show.
Okay. And
make sure to leave some links in the chat room.
Yeah. Is there a?
If you're on Facebook, you can always go to Spent Kent and jump on my page, and you'll see the link and everything. I got a couple of promos with the links on them, and so does Lee that he put on my page. So, like, any one of those, you can just click right on and go right to the
great. And you take
talk Bottom of the Feed.
And you take calls during the whole show, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So
we have one segment, because I wasn't going to do anything, but, you know, I was just, if I was going to get back into it, I was kind of thinking of just doing my own solo thing, the Cash Out with Spend Kent thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
I've been talking about maybe doing that. So, but then Lee got, you know, he's my boy. You know, we've worked together for so long over the years, and, you know,
I got you.
I was like, yeah, man. And so we made that into a segment. We're going to have a segment now. It was after the break, but we're going to do it like right before the break.
Okay,
and
well,
it's going to be like maybe 10 minutes of a topic that I want to talk about.
Right. Well, do us a favor. All right, do us a favor, Kent, and you know how to get to my chat room. Put a link in the chat room to it, so that way people can find it. And let's get on to whatever else is on your mind, though. And do put a link at the Ocelli live chat room there. Somebody will pick it up, and people do go back in there during the week and roll it back and click on stuff. So maybe they'll go and check out the archive show from the past week, and maybe they'll tune in on Sunday, because my live shows don't begin until 10 p.m., although we are going to start a show at 9 p.m. coming up in the next couple of weeks on Sundays. But right now I just got Aaron's shows at 10 and 11 p.m. Eastern on Sundays, so I will have time to drop in on your show. But put a link in the live chat room at Ocelli.com so that other people can go ahead and find it. Blog Talk Radio, I'm surprised that thing is still around. Yeah.
I'll I'll drop one in there if all goes well. If I can, you know, get down there, which I think I can with no problem, I'll just drop it in. If I have to go in as anonymous,
right?
But you'll see. I'll just write down, you know, bottom of the feed show, Spank Hent and Leave Here.
There you go. So, yeah, just put a note in there.
The link there.
Yeah, just put a note in there so people can find it. Anyways, is there anything on your mind you want to get to? Got to give you space to talk about a topic, and then we're going to go around the table, so to speak. So what's on your mind today,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, I'll be quick. I mean, I was listening to a lot of the topics tonight. I mean, I kind of blacked out, and I lost my Coke. I don't know where it went. That's funny.
That's your Coke.
I don't do Coke. I haven't done Coke in decades, many a decades. But, yeah, I lost my Coke. I wonder where I left it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's at the White House. Yeah, so anyways, these are all great topics. Y'all do a kick-ass job. Jimmy James, good to say hi to you and Vance. Is it Vantastic now, or is still Vanarchy, right?
Oh, he's still Vanarchy, but sometimes he's Vantastic. Tonight he said he was, Super Duper Vance? Was that right?
Yeah, Super Duper.
So that's not quite as good as Vantastic, but Super Duper is pretty good, sounds like to me. I don't know. Yeah.
That's good to talk to my brother. That's good to hear your voice and talk to you. And Cap Trip back on there. Who I said, Jimmy James. Who else is on here? Sorry.
Let's see.
I was in and out here trying to remember.
No problem. Harlan is with us.
But whoever
yeah.
is.
Mm-hmm.
Harlan, of course, BP, too.
Yeah, BP.
So
yep.
BP. So hello, everybody. And Kim's listening, so.
I hope
whoever's
so.
Whoever's listening.
Yeah. I hope so. I don't know. She's busy in the other room, so I'm not sure.
Right on. But I have no particular topic. I'll just roll on with what you guys are doing. I mean, it was a great conversation on those topics. I know not enough about any of them to – I mean, I'll say this about the Coke. I think it's more of a distraction, just something to talk about than really any big deal.
Yeah, because one.
If we just think for a second, our politicians don't do Coke and other things. I mean, goddamn, how do you think they keep Biden away so he can stumble off a stage?
Well, I'll tell you.
A couple of toots.
Let's
throw them out there, go on MSNBC and stumble off the stage. So.
If that's
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Look, if that's the shape he's in after a couple of rails, man, then I'd hate to see what happens if he doesn't have it, okay? Because, man, he's not all that animated.
That's when they call him Sleepy Joe.
So, you know, but, yeah, I do have a snoring sound effect somewhere, I think, but it's somewhere in here. But anyways, the... I don't know what to make of that, except there it is. Yeah, see? Anyways, just saying, God help us all. Whose Coke is it? Who cares? Is my first instinct, but it's weird because at the end of the day, let's say we take the topic very, very seriously and somebody is found to be doing cocaine, who is in the White House, and imagine whoever it is, apparently there was a Vegas line on it being Hunter's, and maybe, people lost money on that because maybe it's not, maybe it is. It's, it's moved locations so many times, I think it was BP said, I never seen Coke that could traffic itself, or maybe somebody else did. But either way, it's moving around. And, what is it? It's a magic trick, right? It's just like the old magic shows. Now, I haven't seen a live magician in a while, but I do know the basic premise of, you know, watch my left hand so you don't see what the right is doing. And, so it's some kind of sleight of hand. What is the purpose of it? Who the hell even knows? It's so weird, man. We are in a weird time period where I didn't think we'd have to be. I mean, and also, who is shocked? Who among us is shocked that there's cocaine in the White House anyway? I would be shocked if there wasn't cocaine in the White House.
I'm more shocked that they finally said there is. It's like we didn't know this for like the past 100 years.
Really?
Or whatever. Like however long, but like, yeah.
I'm
shocked that this is the first time we make a story of it. I'm shocked that it's probably not a distraction.
Go ahead, Trips, you were going to say something?
I think it's time.
Oh, BP, yeah.
I think it's time that we start implementing some policies that all of us in the private sector have had to deal with. Like, if you're going to reside in the White House, you ought to have to mandatorily drug test. I've taken, I have to, every time I switch, like if I switch companies or I switch jobs or I switch locations, if I can go to work from for my company at another company and have to be subjected to another drug test. And it's all because of these damn rules and regulations that these insurance companies, oh, we got to drug test everybody. That way we'll lower your rate. Bull crap. It's not, it doesn't have a damn thing to do with lowering rates. They just want to have control. Now, I don't understand why all these government agencies don't have to do this crap, because we're forced to do it in the private sector if we want to work.
You know, no kidding.
I think it's time we start changing some human resource policies for government employees and make them pee in the cup.
You know, and it's funny, too, because it's not even just about
pee in the cup.
Well, hang on a second. You know what? It is funny you bring that up, BP, because it's not even just about, you know, important jobs or where you're responsible for people or anything. I can't tell you how many people I've known over the past couple of years going to get a job at, like, Dollar General or the Waffle House, okay, which I don't know how the hell it is they're drug testing the Waffle House people, because somebody tell me how they're beating it, because there's no way you're not on drugs and working at a Waffle House around me. How do you, you know, who is sober at the Waffle House, for God's sake? All right, but anyway, look, forget it. Forget the Waffle House. I'm just saying that people that go for a job at Dollar General or the Piggly Wiggly, they got to pee in a cup to get the job. So, you know, why wouldn't you have, you're going to work in the White House. Don't worry about it. You know, no drug test for you. I don't know. I kind of assumed that they were drug testing people, you know. Sorry.
They do have the so-called monthly randoms. The only person that does not have to do a urinalysis would be the elected official, the president. Everyone else in that godforsaken so-called White House is up for grabs. Do a hair test.
So Slow Joe and...
Yeah, nobody in Congress, nobody in the Senate.
So Slow Joe and Kamala...
No, no, take drug tests.
Because Kamala was also elected, technically. So Kamala can work in the White House and not be drug tested because she was elected as a vice president.
I think...
Right?
I don't know if she's exempt from your analysis or tests. Apparently she ain't been doing them.
Look, just because you're a law enforcement person who busts people for drugs does not necessarily mean you're not doing drugs. But I'm thinking she would have to be exempt as well.
Wait a minute. She admitted that she used to sit around and get stoned and listen to, who was it? She named a couple of rap artists from back in the day, and I'm sitting here thinking, everybody heard them because they were on Top 40 radio. What are you talking about? So, you know, because people jumped on her and said, wait a minute, you prosecuted people for drug possession, and here you are admitting that you were partaking of illegal drugs.
Well, you know, I also heard one of these GOP, one of these wannabe GOP nominees, you know, that wanted to go on for president recently talking about how they knew about drug addiction because they knew somebody was addicted to cigarettes. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? That's not drug addiction. I mean, it is in a technical sense. You're addicted to a substance. I get it. But, you know, it is nowhere near the cultural or problematic issue if you have a nicotine addiction. Don't compare somebody who's a cigarette smoker to a crackhead, for God's sake. What the hell? So it depends on
you. You're treated that way in business, though. I mean, we have to take declarations for our health insurance on whether we're smokers or not, and if we claim not to be a smoker, we're subject to have a mouth swab done to prove that we haven't partaken of any tobacco products, either dip, snuff, chewing tobacco, or regular tobacco.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're starting to be treated that way as smokers. So I look at it this way. If you're going to live in the White House, you pee in the cup. If you don't pass the test, you don't come in. Plain and simple.
That's funny. I would love for that to happen. But then again, even if they did make them pee in the cup, would they reveal the results of said urinalysis? I don't know. There's always that issue, too, right?
Of course not.
Of course not.
Of course not.
Look, I'm trying to be open-minded.
No, enforce the damn thing. Tell them, say, look, if you're going to cut, if you were just elected, that's fine. You're president. But if you're going to come and live in this and reside in the White House and take up taxpayer money, pee in a cup. If you don't, then you are on the hook for what it costs you to house yourself and the damn Secret Service that's around you. So either pee in a cup or cough up the money. What are the other?
They get.
Yikes.
Oh, someone asked about.
If I got to pee in a cup to make minimum wage, you got to pee in a cup to run the world. You know, it's that simple.
Absolutely.
I got to pee in a cup. You got a bigger job. You make more money. You're way more popular. Everybody knows who you are. Even over the spent one, spent cat, God forbid. You know, you if I got to pee in the cup, you got to pee in the cup.
Okay.
You got way more responsibility, all this more money.
It's so bad
this
now.
Free healthcare and all this other stuff.
Okay.
If I got to pee, you got to pee because you got the better job.
All right, look, let's
it's not a matter of better job.
Yes.
It's a matter of being on the taxpayer's dole. I mean, you're getting paid by the taxpayers to do what you're doing, and if you want to reside
right, exactly.
in that, look at what
it
costs to.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So give the taxpayers, you know, their money's worth. They have to pee in the cup to keep their jobs. You pee in the cup or you don't stay in the White House.
Okay.
It's that simple.
You guys are in total agreement with each other, fair enough, and I don't think anybody should have to pee in a cup, and if you're not doing some drugs on occasion, of some type, you know, there you go, but, you know, but that's me.
Even I have to say there's some jobs you got to have people that are just stone soul sober.
Oh, okay, fair enough, but what I'm saying is I'm not into this whole thing like your whole life gets, you know, turned around because you fail a drug test, though. I don't know. I think there's ways of dealing with that. And also,
no,
you know, but anyways,
I look at it this way.
Why would someone that works at Waffle House, why should they have to endure something like that? It's none of their business.
I don't think that they should at all. No, I think it's absolutely
right.
Ludicrous.
Well,
that
I look at it this way. If you're the president, if you are the president, you are the chief law enforcement officer of the U.S. You're also the head of the military, in which taking drugs in both cases are illegal. So if you're going to assume the job, pee in a cup. Then you can be – that ought to be part of the registration to run for office.
Well,
you ought to have to pee in the cup. So that we know you're not on anything.
See, but then there's okay, but then there's executive exemption, BP. Because look, if you're running the corporation, hold on. If you're running the corporation, hang on a second. If you're running the corporation that runs the dollar, you know the again Dollar General, right? The corporate office guys don't have to piss in a cup, but the workers at the stores do. You know what I'm saying? So, what about executive exemption here? You know, you're telling me, okay, the head of the military, that, well, the heads of these corporations aren't being drug tested. If they were, I guarantee you a lot of them wouldn't be heads of corporations.
Wait a minute. You don't know that. You don't know that the head of a corporation is not being drug tested. It may be policy. Our company, no matter who you are, you get hired no matter what you got to pass, you got to pee in the cup.
No, I do.
We will not be offered the position.
Yeah, but I do know that there have been various CEOs that definitely were not being drug tested because they had long-standing cocaine addictions, long-standing opiate addictions that came out in court cases, and these people were in charge of multinational corporations. So I know for a fact that there were many of them that obviously weren't – there was no action being taken against them because they had long-standing, years-long addictions.
I know there's a lot that don't, but that doesn't change the fact that they should. If their employees have to pee in a cup, anybody connected with that, anybody receiving any type of financial compensation from that company for work. I'm talking a business deal where I purchase your product.
Yeah.
If you're going to be employed by this company and draw pay from this company, you pee in the cup.
Look,
either do it for all or do it for none.
I agree with the principle, BP, but what I'm saying is the practice is not that way right now. The practice is not that way right now. I agree with the principle, though. It's either, you know, what's good for one is good for all or not. I agree with you there, but it doesn't mean that that's the way things are being done right now. Yeah, go ahead.
I just got a, for instance, now the shop where my dad worked, for instance, the blue-collar people were tested, correct, and the white-collar people were not. Right. However, the white-collar people didn't have crap for health insurance, and the blue-collar people did, and that was part of their deal. They had to do that to insure all the people.
Yeah, and then there's other people that say, well, look, the white-collar people aren't working with machines where people could get hurt and this and that and da-da-da. I know. Look, this can go back and forth, but I'll tell you the truth. I agree with the principle of either you do it for all or you do it for none, and there you have it. And if somebody does get injured, I mean, that's a different circumstance. That's not randomly, testing people and stuff like that, which is different from if you decide to test somebody. Like, I remember I had friends that worked at Home Depot, and if you had any sort of mishap, you using a machine or whatever, they might they could request that you're drug tested afterwards to see if maybe there was an influence on the accident. But up until that point, they didn't used to just randomly drug test them. I think they do now. But back in the 90s, I think it was, only if you had an accident with a forklift or a pallet jack or whatever did they bother to drug test you, which I thought
that's
was a lot more fair.
That's the way it is in healthcare currently. You're drug tested when you take a job, and then the only other times I've never been drug tested a second time. Mm-hmm. And the people that I know who have, it's always been, and it's for workers' comp, because if they can show you're under the influence of something when you were injured, then they don't have to pay for it.
Right.
And in most cases. And then the only other time in healthcare that I've seen people be drug tested is if you're suspected of somehow of stealing narcotics or something else. I've never been randomly drug tested in almost 30 years.
Right. Well,
I know no one else in my field who has been randomly drug tested.
Yeah, but that seems sensible. I mean, look, if you're connected to a circumstance where they think you're stealing narcotics, they might want to see if you have those narcotics in your system. I get that. And also, again, if you have an accident or mishap, some misadventure where it could have played a role in said misadventure, I get it. You know, it makes sense, especially dealing with insurance companies and workman's comp and all that stuff. There, it starts to make more sense to me. But the random testing and this, you know, to me, that's just intrusive for the sake of being intrusive. And the fact that they don't issue you some drugs when you're working at the Waffle House with your paycheck, I think is unfair to begin with. You got to be high to be working at Waffle House. I mean, seriously.
Well, from a Waffle House perspective, I could see wanting to drug test your employees. I wouldn't want all these frickin' people, all these stoners running around eating all my food.
Well, okay, I mean, guess there's that.
Trying to weed out the munchies.
I guess there's that.
I can tell you right now, back when I was more of a cannabis connoisseur, Waffle House would have been a panacea.
Okay, fair enough.
whoever asked, I did want to say that whoever asked it, it's my understanding that no nationally elected official has to have piss tests.
So that does mean that the vice president does count then, right?
No, not. I don't know. The vice president and the Supreme Court might be something different because they're more or less appointed.
But that's my point. A vice president. Wait a minute.
Same umbrella.
Hang on a second. The vice president, though, Jimmy James, is elected on the ticket with the president. So they are nationally elected. What's that?
Well, see, she's not. These days, the president selects the vice president. So,
but they're on the ticket.
Honestly,
their name
something that would have to be litigated in court because no one knows the answer to that. Because it'll never happen.
Right, but I'm going based on your words. If you're saying that somebody is nationally elected in a technical sense, her name is on the ballot with the presidents at the time, right, when the election is had. So in a very direct sense, her name is on the ballot too, right? You are electing both of them to the offices. So, you know, even though they're a team.
Her office is in power.
Her office what?
Her office has no power, though.
Well, whether it has power or not is irrelevant.
She breaks the ties in the Senate.
Yeah, I mean, well, there you go. There's that.
Power.
They preside over the Senate, you know. But the other thing is, you're still talking about somebody who's nationally elected, regardless of what their level of power is, right? They're on the ballot. So I don't know. Depends
automatically
on
automatically president if the president dies.
Fine, let's just test Kamala. I'm
I'm all for it.
Well, yeah, test them all.
I think she needs them.
Listen, I test Kamala.
Test all of them.
Test Kamala any which way you want. She's probably going to fail. just the way it is. I like how they kept her out of sight for the most part in recent months. That's pretty interesting. Nobody wants to even bring her out in public. Let's let Joe stutter and freaking slur his way through it, because don't bring her the hell out, because that's only going to make things worse. Anyways, BP.
Yeah, the exciting thing is he does make Kamala. Makes old Joe look like a mental giant, even with his dementia.
There you go. So, BP,
it's a perfect example or a perfect description of the state of this country when we have those two in office. I mean, the world looks at us and just laughs or shakes their head. I mean, they all think it's a WTF moment. Mm-hmm. It's just a crying shame that, you know, it's that we've sunk that low, that something happens to Joe, she automatically steps in. That's a scary thought.
But we don't, at least we don't have Justin Trudeau at the head of our government.
There's always the bright side there.
I actually think I'd take Biden and Kamala over Justin.
Really? Huh. All right. Well, that's fascinating.
He's such a smug SOB. I cannot. He's one of these people that if he opens his mouth, I see his face, my skin curls. So it's kind of a personal thing. I get it, but.
All right. Unless we start getting around to everybody, B. Pete, I'm going to wind up cutting us off because we're not going to get around to everybody in the allotted time here. So where should we begin to let everybody get their final words in for the week?
Well, we could in reverse order. We start with Ken, go to Harlan, and work our way back down.
That's what I was thinking, too. So, Spent Kent, you'll be up first. What is your final thoughts for this week as we close out the Friday night open mic here on Ocelli.com? And we'll get the podcast out a little quicker than we have lately, I assure you guys. But there were complications. And by the way, just really fast before Kent gets to speak, we do have the thank you program still happening. I have plenty of hats, so you can select the show you want the hat from. Some people have gotten their stuff in the mail already. I've only made the one big trip to the post office. I've got another trip to make, but there is plenty of stuff left, all kinds of stuff, from the tote bags to the hats. The hats, you can select a show you want. Any one of the shows that is currently airing on Ocelli.com, you can get a hat. They are all unique. All unique designs, all very short runs, and other swag in your package. Definitely well worth the $50. So if you start at $50, or if you make payments on $50, we can do it that way too. If you make donations at Ocelli.com, none of this stuff is for sale, but it is all out there as a thank you gift. I also have some more decks of cards coming in. We got some other items. I was trying to get lighters, but we haven't been successful there. Could be t-shirts, could be mouse pads, could be a whole bunch of different stuff. And I know we got packages out, so I would love it if you guys who got your packages would send us back some pictures. I think so far I've only gotten one back from, they call him somebody the plumber, and I can't remember his name now, but he called in last week, and he got his swag package this week. That's the only pictures I've gotten so far. But feel free to send me a picture of you wearing the hat or just the hat laid out or whatever. Somebody put a hat on a squirrel last time. Whatever it is you want to do, send me a picture. Show me you got your stuff. Pens, keychains, bottle openers, stickers, all kinds of different swag. Custom-made aces of spades, things like that, and also decks of cards. Could be part of your random swag package. And I did order a couple more of the tote bags so that I'll have more of those to go out for those of you that decide to up some more into the into it. Oh, wallets, man, all kinds of stuff, actually. Just a handful of this, a handful of that. We got a bunch of different things here, so all of it available to help the network continue to grow, and it's all as thank you gifts. None of it is for sale. It's all there to thank you guys who do make donations to Ocelli.com. Anyways, Spent Kent, now that I've done my little plug and everything, you got your show coming up Sunday, 6 p.m. Hopefully you'll drop the link in the chat room at Ocelli.com for the bottom of the feed show with you and Lee Peer. Wish you luck on that, and I will pop up on there at some point. Who knows what that'll be like, but we'll find out when it happens. What's your final thoughts for the week, sir?
First of all, great show. Very, very interesting topics and everything. Everybody did a great job. And, we're doing the Bottom of the Feed show, the Sunday Night Titans Bottom of the Feed show, Sundays at 6. And I'm going to about, as soon as I get hang up the phone here, I'm going to go ahead and drop it up on the chat room there. You can also go to on Facebook and just look up Spent Kent. You can see it on my feed and everything. So the other thing is go to Blog Talk Radio, Bottom of the Feed show. We're going to have a good time, and we're trying to invite you on. Lee wanted me to personally invite you on Sunday if you want to come on Sunday afternoon. So if you can, try to get a hold of Lee. He's got a couple things he wanted to talk to you about.
Okay.
But that's on that's you guys when you get time and everything. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll reach out to you. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, other than that, I'm just saying everybody's invited. You know, we're going to do our thing. It's a little more uncensored than this show. You can curse and stuff. So we don't have any what is it, the AM/FM affiliates with us. So,
yeah, ours are gone.
You can curse, but if you're on this show, you shouldn't, because you do have AM. You know how I was back in the Wednesday call-in show. Let's not curse, because we got AM/FM.
Yeah, we don't have the AM/FM anymore,
like,
but yeah.
Because we don't have that.
We don't have it anymore either, Kent.
Say what you want, and everybody have a good time.
Absolutely. Okay? Kent, we don't have the AM/FM anymore either, by the way. It's gone. So...
Also, you can come on and roll live if you want. Yeah, talk to Lee. Definitely try to get a hold of him. And if you got time Sunday evening, here. But we're going to be on, and you can always check us out, Bottom of the Feed show.
6 p.m. Eastern. There
so
you
thanks,
go.
Thanks, everybody. Love you, Chuck, BP, Jimmy James, et cetera.
There
Vance,
you go.
Everybody.
There you go.
Love you guys.
Spent Kent, everybody. And we'll put him on hold there and get around to the next one. And I do believe it was Harlan was next in the order. But, yeah, his show will be on 6 p.m. Eastern, Bottom of the Feed, Block Talk Radio. And, again, you can find it on Facebook. If you can't find Spent Kent on Facebook, you can look at my friends list. I think it's public. And I'm sure he's still on my friends list, even though, some people have jumped off and on there. I don't look at my Facebook friends list. But you can out there if you're on Facebook. So there it is. Anyway, Bottom of the Feed. So you said Harlan was next, B. Pete. Was that right?
Yeah, I believe that's the order.
Okay, Harlan, your final thoughts for this week.
Well, only slaves take drug tests of situations. And I have heard before from an elected official in Tennessee that you could force an elected official to take a drug test unless they were some kind of legal procedure, like it was in a bad accident or something like that. So it's about the only way that they could make an elected official take a drug test. Not just because you don't like them or you think that they should, or even that, for fact or on a good account that, they are using drugs. That's basically, you're just wasting your breath. I mean, I think myself, the majority of the drug testing is just, a money racket here in the trucking industry.
Right.
We're under a clearinghouse now with the federal databases.
Yeah, I was going to say, in your line of work, there's a whole lot of interesting back and forth about drug testing. Some companies that you work for, if you work just for that company, they do it. Sometimes they don't do it unless you have an accident. They got different insurance concerns,
it's required
concerns,
if you're a CDL driver. If you have a CDL license, you're required to take a drug test.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know. It's required.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of them. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of strange side to it. One of the biggest things that gets me, I've not heard about it in a while, but, when people says, oh, yeah, you know, everybody, if you're doing this or you've got this job and blah, 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 you just have to take it. Well, the way it is basically, from what I understand, and, I've been doing this, is my 24th year. I mean, it's not like I just started, 6 months ago, is... If somebody says, well, I told him to go take a drug test,
and say this person, you know, was quitting, and they knew they was quitting, right, or they already, you know, had quit, they could allege that, well, I told him to go take a drug test and he just quit. And, you know, nowadays that can mess your driver's license. But I've not heard of anybody having that problem in a while, but I have heard about it in the past. You know, so it's even to the point, which I've not had to go through, but, you know, probably 9-10 years ago, they can, you can basically go in there to take one, and they can stand there and just stare right there at you with your paints pulled down while you do it. That's a little bit too much. And, you know, for those that say, well, this and that, well, you know, draw some blood, pull some hair. You know what I mean? And why is jobs, you know, like this, and it's not only this, it's so important we have them, but, you know, it's not the same stuff for, you know, 911 dispatchers, police. You know, I know nurses are to a certain extent, but a lot of that is on suspicion. And one more thing, the way that the testing schedules is different schedules for different, I guess you could say, industries or whatever that's called for. And like a DOT drug test, there is absolutely zero tolerance for THC. I don't know if they've changed the tolerance levels. You know, lately I used to have my own authority. I used to get emails here and there. I mean, I've never been on drugs, so I didn't, you know, pay a whole lot of attention to them. But I did know that about the THC. At one time, there was actually tolerance levels in there for cocaine. But you can fill a DOT drug test, and I also think a federal employee type of drug test or a federal law enforcement officer type of drug test, taking a CBD oil product the same way as if you'd sit down and smoked a bag over a week.
Okay. Well,
I just thought I'd put that out there because, you know, a lot of people, you know, they're like, oh, we've got to do this and we got to do that. Well, there's, you know, it sounds good, but, you know, why is everybody not under the same thing? As far as these CEOs and these office workers, well, a lot of those are the very ones that's pushing people in these factories, and it used to be real bad in these trucks. They'll be sitting there doped up, coked up, smoked up, do whatever they want to do. And, you know, they ain't under the rules. But they can sit here and use it against everybody else. I'm kind of, you know, along the lines of if one's got to do it, everybody ought to do it. Yeah. You have to have, a good reason. But a lot of it is, you know, to do with workers' compensation, things of that nature. And one more thing, and I'll shut up. I've heard on and off for the last several years, I've even heard that Walmart in a lot of places doesn't do pre-employments. And a lot of these jobs are not drug testing in the last 2 or 3, 4 years the way that, you know, they used to, like far as, you know, the pre-employment goes. But if you get hurt or something, or they're so kind of suspicious. And, you know, look at your local Waffle House in a lot of cases. You know, we kind of beat Waffle House. If I ate at Waffle House, you know, some myself, but some of their employees doesn't look like they could pass a drug test, and it's not only Waffle House.
No, true, true.
Hopefully you guys make it. It's been good being on tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you, Harlan. And, yeah, look, again, I don't even blame people who work like the overnight in an eating establishment needing some drugs. You know, again, and what is the tolerance level? That's true. Things have changed, and they do continue to change based on conditions. I'm sure that, you know, in a state like Colorado, it's probably impossible to, you know, have employment-based drug testing and find somebody, you know, a fair pool out there where you got completely legalized cannabis, where people haven't been exposed to it somehow or taken a product or something. You know, you probably have a significantly reduced pool of employees as possibilities there just based on that condition. So, you know, do they change it so that if you got a little bit of cannabis in your system, it's not that big a deal? Is there zero tolerance? Well, on the federal level, there's zero tolerance because cannabis is, an absolute no-no on the federal schedule still, right? So I don't know, man.
Yep.
There's a lot to it, So next in line, I think, would be Captain Shrimps, BP. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe you're correct.
Okay. Captain Shrimps, your final thoughts for the week.
Oh, well, it was a pleasure having the time to call in. I do recommend anyone who has the opportunity to see that movie, The Sound of Freedom, I was talking about. It's not going to proselytize it, but definitely think it's worth a watch. And it was a pleasure connecting with everyone.
Is that still in theaters, or have they moved to streaming yet?
No, it's still in theaters, and I think it was BP that was saying with the whole AMC issue. They're putting it in, I think they're adding like 400 and some odd theaters around the country where they're adding it. Just from the financial side of it, it's cleaning up. I mean, it is making a ton of money. So I can certainly see where the theaters might have a change of heart for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, well, I'm sure I don't have $60 to take Mrs. Oda to the movie theater, but I'll probably catch it when I can afford to somehow, download it or whatever.
Check a local theater, because they are doing this pay it forward deal where
they're
pushing people to buy tickets for other people. So check your theaters. They may have some of those tickets available where you can get it for free.
I'll check.
My understanding was that they were going to release it on Twitter. Whether that's still going to happen or not, I'm not so sure. But I think that was part of their initial plan, was once it was in theaters for a while, they were going to release it free to the public.
Hmm. Well, that might be interesting, because that would definitely uplift Twitter as far as being a platform for full-on movies, because nobody's thinking of it for that yet. Yeah. So there you go. And I would watch it on Twitter. Why not? what the hell? Even if they added commercials, who cares? I would watch it. I'd like to see what this is all about now that you guys got me thinking about it, and especially with the alleged controversy, et cetera. So, I'd like to see what
the link in your I dropped the link in your Skype.
Okay.
It's to the actual, it's to the producing company's site, but there's some trailers on there, give you an idea, and I'll look around. I can send you some more stuff.
Okay, fair enough. I will check it out, and hey, it does sound like it is, and I'm into movies that are about real things, for the most part. I mean, I know sometimes I talk about Star Trek or whatever, and I do enjoy that stuff. Very cerebral, and I am enjoying Strange New Worlds this year, for sure. And but at the same time, most of what I like to watch actually is real world things that actually give you a representation of a historical event, whether it's modern history or in the distant past. It doesn't matter. And I appreciate things that are historically accurate, for the most part, even if they are somewhat embellished and what have you. So definitely a movie that I will watch at some point. So that's interesting in and of itself. So anyway, if that's all we got from Captain Trips, I did believe we move to Vance next. And Jimmy James was the first one on, so he'll be the last one giving us his final thoughts this week, which is rare. Usually it seems like we get to Jimmy James first. So this will be a rare one. He's had a little time to think about it. But I believe it's Vance, Vanarchy himself, up now.
Well, y'all were talking about the movie and the subject matter and all that, and during the conversation earlier, it came in my head. My dish went out recently. My box, I had to upgrade to a new, box and stuff, and so I had to break out some old bootlegs that I, DVDs I had to watch, and one of the movies I watched was called The Whistleblower, and it was about Bosnia and the UN Security Council or whatever it was, and human trafficking and all that. And it was a really good movie. It was like in 2010, I think, when it came out, and it was like a girl, a lady, some kind of police investigator that was there in Bosnia, and they were covering up all the human trafficking. They'd get girls to work in clubs and then drug them and abduct them and all that kind of stuff. And it was a really good movie. So that, you know, it's amazing. I think it's just that because now there's been a whole lot of focus on that, I guess maybe is why this one is so, you know, maybe it is, you know, that people are getting tired of it and, you know, willing to realize that it's a, you know, ongoing thing and hadn't stopped. And, you know, it's time to go ahead and, you know, drug test people and, you know, get their DNA. Just, you know what I mean. But
no, I got you. You know,
other than that, it was nice calling in.
Yeah. No, it's great to hear from you, Vance. You know, what's interesting about what you're saying here is that, again, in 2010, this topic wouldn't have been received the same way. Of course, part of what we're talking about is the fact that they've connected human trafficking to the southern border in the past few years a lot more. Although that was always going on, people weren't really talking about it until recent years. And it's one of the first things that comes up with why the southern border is such a problem, right? Is they always go, well, it's not just the jobs, it's the drugs that are coming in and human trafficking. They have been haranguing that now for what, about 5 to 7 years, and people have finally now accepted that that's something that goes on down there. But again, it was always happening. Anywhere where you have international borders one way or another, there's always trafficking happening, and it is a worldwide thing. I think some people, you know, very much like they see a boogeyman under every bed, see a trafficker everywhere. Is it everywhere? Yes. Is it everywhere? Absolutely no. You know, so it's one of those weird things that has kind of evolved as a topic in general. So because it had that groundwork of people talking about it connected to the southern border for so long, it makes sense that this movie gets a bit more of an audience. You know, it's not a crazy idea, because before, you know, like some years ago, people would have said, well, when it comes to trafficking, they might think about the European angle of it. You know, oh, like in the movie Taken, right? You know, the guy's daughter gets taken. She's going to get trafficked. They think of it as that sort of thing. And it's over there, and it's among those people. But I think people have come to accept it as more of a worldwide thing. It doesn't matter which nation it is. It's not just in Europe. It's not just in the former Soviet bloc. It's not, you know, et cetera. It's everywhere. So it's a different time. And it's funny because, go ahead.
I want to qualify that movie, The Whistleblower, was based on an actual true story and, you know, was apparently pretty true to life, you know,
right.
not embellished a whole lot and probably made, you know, better, safer, you know, a little less graphic or whatever. It wasn't anything super horrible or anything, but it was a very well done movie, and it was based on an actual event that happened in Bosnia. So.
Right. During that time period, though, I mean, I was kind of like just not watching movies or media at all. There was a blackout time for me where I didn't know what was in the movie theaters. I had no idea it was on TV ever, because I just paid zero attention to it. Nowadays, just because of media and the way, you know, media analysis needs to be done, I end up back. They pulled me back in. I wound up taking a look at some stuff that I used to just completely ignore outright. And during that time period, I don't even remember that movie. But it sounds like something maybe I got to go back and go find now. Maybe they got it on Netflix or something, because I don't have a big DVD collection. But maybe I'll go take a look at it, though, just to see, because that's yet another real-world story, real-world events. And it's always interesting to see it dramatized so people can learn about things, at least, you know, get an idea about the reality from the embellished fiction / reality that's presented by the filmmakers. And so anyway, Vance, I'll put you on hold now, and appreciate hearing from you, my brother. And we'll be sending something out to you shortly, too, by the way. So let's put you on hold. And, gee, I think that just leaves us now with Jimmy James, BP, right? Yeah, so Jimmy James.
Last,
but definitely not least, Jimmy James.
Well, first thing, everyone needs to be on a lookout and engaged and aware to prevent war. Joe Biden just mobilized 3,000 reservists to quote-unquote Eastern Europe.
Uh-oh.
So keep your eyes on that. Let your voices be heard. And Harlan, greed is good. Different rank, different spank. God bless America. Let's make America great again.
There you go, Jimmy James. I gotta say, man, it's always interesting to hear from you. Let's make America great again. He's got to throw that in. Oh, Jimmy, you're fun. You know what? I hope you call in and get in on that thing with Spent Kent and Lee over there. I don't know how they're going to handle you, and I take no responsibility for what goes on over there. But I'd love to see you bug the crap out of them over there. I don't know how they'll react though. So enjoy that on a Sunday. Anyway, B. Pete, that means we're on to you, man.
Well, all I can say is thanks to everybody that called in, Vance and Harlan and Captain. It's always good to hear from Captain and Kent and Jimmy. Always makes for good conversation on this show. Did I miss anybody? Oh, of course you, Chuck. But I also like to think of this program as being informational. So I'm going to leave you with a bit of trivia from the sports world.
Trivia?
It also kind of reflects on old school versus modern era. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar held the NBA scorers record for 39 years. And in all of his scoring, he only had 1 3-pointer. I find that amazing.
Wow. I did not know that. Only one really? 3-point shot?
That's 1 3-point shot.
Huh.
So, you know, it's, you know, and to hold that record for as long as he did, I think is quite impressive. So other than that, I'd just like to tell everybody to go to Ocelli.com, hit the donate button, do your support. Don't forget the bling bag, send your money in, get your cap of your choice and all the other stuff that Chuck throws in there. And other than that, I hope everybody has a good week and we'll hear from you next Friday.
Right, and somewhere around September 11th, I'll be launching the Magic Bullet. But until then, I'm trying to keep this open, and I do have stuff still waiting, and can always order more if you guys, you know, want to kick in and get more of the swag. You know, you got one of the Ocelli hats, you want to get Mad Hat, you want an Age of Transitions or an Uncle hat, you can always get another hat if you like, and get another package. That's fine by me. If you want more than one, more than happy to do that for you. And so please do. We're going to be raising a little bit of money because we're going to need a little help with this road trip to Dallas. And I'm hoping to see some of you guys there, which is the 17th through the 19th of November. And that'll be at the Lancer Conference. But there will be a breakout room for Ocelli.com activities. And there may be some other events. And we're going to film some stuff. And, you know, looking forward to taking the road trip with BP. And possibly, maybe we'll have another passenger with us or another somebody else who can drive because I can't drive on the long distance travel. But maybe we'll get another driver in there and maybe we'll meet some of you guys down there. So definitely building up to that. But also need to keep the bills paid in the meantime and all that with the network. And thankfully, I didn't have to pay for any additional security recently. My already paid for extra security held when I had the recent hack attack on the website and all that stuff. But you know, I do appreciate all you guys who have supported us, and I hope you'll continue to do so, because there's no way to do it without you. Anyway, no matter who you are, where you are, when you are, remember, I am merely Ocelli, and all of you are indeed the effect. I thank all the callers, my co-host, B. Pete, and you for listening. Take care.